Good morning. I'm going to call House File 2323 Conference Committee to order on Saturday, May 9th. Senator Bach, I heard that the governor vetoed the bill. Yeah.
You know, Madam Chair, I'm not sure.
I just heard it in this room. I was told that...
I had a radio personality come to me this morning and tell me that, but I haven't actually...
A radio personality.
I haven't actually received a message from the governor to that effect, but so I've received it secondhand.
Madam Chair, they're confusing the cocoa bean shell mulch bill and the tax bill.
Ah, that explains it. So we have more work to do, I guess, again.
Madam Chair, I understand today is a very special day.
It is? You mean because the governor vetoed the tax bill?
But and somebody told me today's a very special day, and I'm wondering why they would have told me that. Have any idea? I mean, tomorrow's Mother's Day. We all know that.
That's because the governor vetoed the tax bill?
Uh-huh. Somebody in this room, maybe every 6 or 7 years, their birthday falls on Mother's Day. And this year it doesn't fall on Mother's Day. It falls today. Hmm.
Oh, I'm just wondering. I'm getting deja vu to last year.
And I know Ms. Zoff's birthday is very close to this date, but I think it's probably a week away yet. So it's not, for any of those of you trying to guess about Council Zoff, it's not her.
Hmm. Well, we'll figure out that later.
I'd like to know where the cake is. Did anybody bring a cake? Well, we'll figure that out. I'm sure somebody here has got a cake. Senator Skoy and I'd like to have a little cake, wouldn't we?
Oh, is it Senator? It's Senator Skoy's birthday?
It's not Senator Skoy's birthday. Oh. Somebody got a cake here.
My niece turns 7 tomorrow.
It's Senator Dibble's niece's birthday. That's what we're celebrating.
Tomorrow.
Okay.
How are we doing so far?
Good. I'm tired. It's finally catching up with me, I think. But are we, Senator Bach, should we just say here, are we coming in tomorrow? Because maybe folks will feel better if we have that conversation at the beginning of the day.
Yeah. Madam Chair, I've had a union card for 34 years, and Sundays and my contract's a double time day. So I don't... I think overtime is not intended to be a premium. It's intended to be a penalty. Employers that want you to work on Sundays. So I think Sundays, very strongly Sundays, are a day for families. And especially tomorrow being Mother's Day, I couldn't in good conscience for all of the staff in this room keep them from spending Mother's Day with their mother or their family. So there are no circumstances under which the Senate's gavel will hit the table tomorrow. Don't care what the majority leader comes in and says, not going to happen. So I will, but I would like, what time do we begin on Monday?
Noon.
Might be if President Cohen, are you going home? If we met Monday morning, is that?
Mr. Chairman, I'm going home, but I'm coming back Sunday evening. So. Yeah.
Representative Marquardt?
Sunday evening.
So back. Would. Senator Dibble's close enough that
15 minutes.
Maybe we'll wow. Think about trying to meet Monday morning. It seems like these sessions, I was thinking this morning, I was having breakfast with Laura, I was thinking, well, this has been a heck of a conference committee. I've had the last three times I've had the gavel, we've been able to meet at 8 o'clock at night, at 10 o'clock at night, and last night we didn't get to meet at all. So I was thinking maybe we should try meet in the morning before
sure.
Session for get a couple hours of work done, maybe, if we think we can make that work.
We're in at 11. So, yeah, that's
so if we tried 8:30 Monday, yeah. Or is 8:30 too early?
No.
We could get 4 or 5 hours in.
Let's try it. So, Madam Chair, my intent wouldn't be to meet tomorrow, but to try and meet at 8:30 on Monday.
Okay. Sounds good.
We could maybe get a little something done before session. In the event session runs late, I don't know. I have no idea what's on the floor, so...
Okay. Sounds like a plan. Good. Well, I think people will be glad to not be here tomorrow, so that'll be good. Thank you, Senator Bach. Okay, so I think we were going to try to keep working on all the non-money items, except for, I think we wanted to start with at least have the conversation, but I think we should try to go ahead and adopt these two disasters that have happened in Minnesota, and that we've had two disasters in Minnesota, and historically we've tried to assist those communities bicameral, nonpartisan way. And so if I'm wrong on this, I think the Senate has a provision of about $2 million for the St. Charles flood and a sales tax exemption.
Fire.
And Representative Marquardt and Representative Lanning have the flood for the Red River Valley. It's about a $2 million provision as well. We don't have it in the bill here because we had to pass it after because of the timing of the flood. So, and I believe you're hearing it. Well, I'll let Representative Marco talk about, but they're about $2 million. And so, you know, I thought we could, you know, since they're two and two, I thought maybe we could just get those done. Representative Marquardt?
Do we have the language we need, Madam Chair?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. We do have the language. Senator Bach, you heard this bill, Senator Langseth, this week. And there's a couple changes to it from what you heard. And the cost is the same. There was a restriction, but also a little more expansion. The cost of what you saw is the same, which I think is about $1 million a year. But what it would do, and it's trying to take an aggressive approach with the housing market in Minnesota, up along North Dakota. North Dakota this year passed about $300 million of property tax relief. And just with folks being kind of weary after the flood and looking at the Red River Valley, back in 1997, Moorhead saw a 32% drop in their new housing the next year. So what we're trying to do is for 2 years take an aggressive approach in trying to stay in the game with North Dakota. And so what this bill does, it for 2 years would exempt the first $150,000 of new residential housing, which is about a $2,000 benefit, and the first $20,000 on any multifamily unit. That's a change from the Langseth bill that you saw. We amended it. One other change that wasn't in the House or what you heard is that there are some homes that were constructed in 08, but they have never been occupied. And if we had these new homes, they would compete. So we're including them also. And that brings it back to about what the original cost was. So, members, we think in this it would involve four cities who are in border cities and in a flood-declared county area. And it's East Grand Forks, it's Moorhead, Dilworth, and Breckenridge. And so if there's any questions, but it's something that folks think this will at least help level the playing field and keep things from dropping for 2 years, just a two-year program.
Members, just on the spreadsheet, so that's not on there. It's line 124 on the St. Charles. And I guess the thing I should add in talking about these, you know, we've done Ham Lake in here. Now we're talking about the Red River Valley and St. Charles. There is no cost in this biennium. They're both in the out biennium. So it looks like Senator Murphy's bill is 2.1 in 12.
What line, Madam Chair? Oh.
124.
Okay, I got it.
And staff can help me here. I can't remember. My understanding, we didn't hear this. I know why. It's Representative Druskowski. He never put the bill in that way. He put it in as an LGA or an 8 or I don't recall. We'd have to get some clarification on that. But we were told that what the Senate did has been done before or another similar situation where there was a sales tax exemption after a disaster because it's basically, you know, the whole jobs base of the community. Because I don't like these sales tax exemptions, and I was just opposed. And then realizing, okay, so there's precedence, and it's, you know, it's obviously the disaster, and then it's really the jobs piece. But so I think both provisions have no cost in the current biennium. But the out years is 2.1, and I don't know what if there's a spreadsheet item for Representative Marquardt's bill that we could look at. Do we have a piece of paper we can copy and hand out if we're going to actually adopt? We should see the price.
For 2 years.
Ms. Templin. What line are you on?
124.
It says 2.1 million. Right, didn't I say that? Oh, okay. So it's two line 124 in fiscal year 12 is 2 million and the 100 is in a non-general fund spot. But I think the salient point, and maybe, I mean, because if we're going to adopt these, I think we need to see it written down. So I don't know if Ms. Templin or someone can work on the Marquardt so that we can get copies and pass it out. It seems to me that they're about the same price. They're both serious issues that happen to these communities, and they're not in this biennium. Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Marquardt, is this all the communities that had housing damage in this last year's flood?
Yeah, can somebody copy something?
Mr. Chair, it wouldn't be. Probably the biggest damage was in Oakport Township. And in there, I mean, of course, there's, FEMA will come in and there will be some other things. There's probably going to be some buyouts there. But no, this is, we're trying to deal with those communities, and Oakport's right next to Fargo also, but it would not include Oakport Township.
Senator Bach.
That would be the main area that had the damage, but that we wouldn't include here.
Senator Bach.
Madam Chair, I'd like to advocate for the House position and have you consider enhancing it just a little bit. The Senate position on this bill is a $250,000 exemption, and I believe that's how the bill was introduced. And I believe the House amended it down to $150,000. I spoke with Senator Langseth last night on the floor, and he asked me if I would advocate for kind of splitting the baby with the House. Currently, Fargo, I believe, is at $150,000, right. And he thought maybe if it might help Moorhead and those communities, some of we were just kind of a little notch above them, he said. So I guess I'd like to make that request on the part of Senator Langseth that you consider something a little more than $150,000.
Okay. So that'll have a spreadsheet impact, I suppose, or no?
Wait,
Ms. Templin? Ms. Templin,
I'm
did
not
you hear that?
I'm not saying, Madam Chair, we have to go to 250, but I think we can be a little better than Fargo. That's what Senator Langseth requested. So.
Well, Senator, I agree. I think we just want to get a sense of the price, and then still be in 12.
Right.
So it might go up a little bit. I mean, my guess is it's going to go from, it's not going to move much. But does Ms. Templin, can you comment on what you think that might be? Mr. Ouellette, good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Eric Ouellette from the Department of Revenue. If you increase the threshold from 150, that might have a very small impact on our calculations, but what we've been working off of is that the average of a valued home that's being built is pretty close to 150, so it will be a very small potential increase in the cost. But I can rough out some numbers right now if you give me a couple of minutes.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Mark.
So, I mean, that's my request for something to consider. I mean, it's not as though we have to do it, but Senator Langseth asked me to bring it up, so I'd just like to put it on the table for your consideration.
Okay, so I think we understand that. So,
Madam
Senator,
Chair,
Representative Marquardt.
I will move the H-2323A73 amendment, and then with one change, I think, on line 2.2, instead of 150,000, it would be 200,000. And originally, it didn't have any limit on that part. On multifamily, it was 250. So, and also include St. Charles in the motion, whatever that would be.
Can we find the St. Charles on the side by side? Does someone know?
Is this what we're doing here?
No, we're not going to do
that. No.
Page 61.
That's kind of interesting. Yeah. Okay. The motion is.
One second. You want to get this in. Okay. So Representative Marquardt's going to do the motion again here so everyone's clear what we're doing. Excuse me. Yes, please, Mr. Hasty. We can't hear you. I can't hear you.
Madam Chair, for the St. Charles sales tax exemption, you also need to adopt Article 3, Sections 5 and 6, the parts relating to the new processing facility.
3, 4, 5, 6.
4, 5.
Okay, so Representative Marquardt, we want to get the motion right here. Is there still disagreement on the motion? Representative Marquardt.
Okay. Here's my motion. I'm going to move House File 2323, the 873 amendment, with one change on line 2.2, delete 150,000, insert 200,000, and Article 3 of the Senate bill, Section 4, and the appropriate parts of Section 5 and 6 dealing with St. Charles.
And stop.
And we've got that.
Okay. Okay, so does everyone understand the motion? Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Motion carries. Okay, so then Representative Loeffler wanted to talk about, we got the sense from the Senate that the Senate was not yet ready to do Representative Loeffler's really great idea on maintenance of effort because we have to deal with this. But we appreciate that there were a lot of questions asked of Representative Loeffler and folks were trying to understand what she was doing, and I completely support what she's doing in that we need to deal with this. And we still thought, you know, it wasn't going to take place for 3 years, but, it, you know, the Senate was hearing it for the first time. And so Representative Loeffler came up with a study language rather than just doing nothing here. And I think we can continue the discussion on the whole maintenance of effort if there's future opportunities yet this year. But I think Representative Loeffler wants to try to, you know, kind of concede a bit here, or a lot, but at least begin to look at the problem. So Representative Loeffler.
Madam Chair, I apologize. I wanted to make a comment about the disaster relief that we just provided. One of the things I'm very proud of as a member of the legislature is that we're enormously sympathetic and empathetic, and we're very responsive to the disasters that happen throughout the state of Minnesota and to the people who are affected by it. And in a way, maybe this is therapy for me. In a way, I would like to ask my tax conferees, perhaps, to carry a message to the conferees and the Ag Conference Committee. You know, I had a small bill to ask for a very small amount, $25,000, not $25 million, not $250,000, but $25,000 for a group of farmers market growers who are members of the St. Paul Farmers Market Association, whose crop was just flattened, I mean devastated, in a hailstorm in July of last year. The Ag Department came out and looked at the damage. The Farm Bureau came out and looked at the damage. And it wasn't just the farmers market vegetable growers that were affected by it, but there were many corn growers in and around Dakota County where the hailstorm hit. There were a lot of soybean growers, a lot of apple tree, apple growers. The difference is that for a lot of these big farmers, they either have crop insurance or they qualify for federal disaster agriculture relief. But we have these small farmers market growers all around the metro area who give a lot of life to the farmers markets in around the metro area, anchored by the Minneapolis and St. Paul Growers Association and those farmers markets. And I thought that since they couldn't get any help, the least we could do is to give them a little bit of assistance with their membership fees and with their stall rentals. So I had a conversation with Senator Vickerman, hesitant to bring it in because I didn't know how it would be received here in the Senate, or for that matter at the legislature. But Senator Vickerman said, you know, Senator Moore, that's such a small amount. Put it in, put the bill in, I'll carry it in the bill. It should not be a problem. Oh, the debates that it drew on the Senate floor, and the debates that it drew in the House, And I believe an amendment went on in the House that took this $25,000 and made the eligibility statewide. And then it went into conference. It went into conference, Madam Chair. And the money got split. $15,000 to the St. Paul Girls Association and $10,000 to the Minneapolis Girls Association, even though they didn't want it and they didn't ask for it. And then, Madam Chair, when I went to ask that if it was that important, then add another $10,000 and restore the $25,000. And you know, the comment that was made to me was, well, Senator, there's no precedent for things like this. And if we do this for you, then the German farmers are going to come in and say, what about the Germans who were hit by the hailstorm? And the Swedish farmers are going to come in and say, well, what about the Swedish farmers who were hit by the hailstorm? And the irony of it is that many of the people who may qualify for this money in the bill are probably Germans and Swedes too. But the fact that I carried the bill drew that kind of a comment. And I don't know what's more offensive, that a mere $25,000 got split, or that somehow there was some concern that my $25,000 was not going to be available to Germans and Swedes just because I carried the bill. So I'm not on that conference committee, Madam Chair. I went to testify. I was very emotional that I had to work so hard for a mere $25,000. I had to show up to testify. And today, we, without Senator Murphy being here, although Representative Marquardt is here, without Senator Langseth being here, we carried the weight for them because we know what their communities experience. So I just want to let my House conferees know. Because, you know, that Senator Vickerman, he wouldn't even let me speak to it on the Senate floor. He said, I want this. The chair wants this. I never asked for anything, Senator Moore. You do not have to stand up and defend this. And the House couldn't accept it because somehow it would create a precedent. And the irony of it is that damn bill can't close because there's some concern about some $4 million are being earmarked somewhere.
Thank you for that, Senator Moore. I didn't know any of that, and it's very interesting and unfortunate, and I'm sure that message is being delivered right now.
Madam Chair.
By a number of folks to those House conferees.
Madam Chair, we just spent $4 million for St. Charles and the flood-related communities in less time than Senator Moore had to make her speech.
Right.
But, I mean, that really does show the important work that gets done in the Tax Committee in a bipartisan way. I mean, I'm proud of the work that gets done in this room and how it helps. I mean, Representative Marquardt, I didn't try to leverage a bit the provision important to your district because I know it's important to people that live there. And I'm glad we're able to do it.
And, Madam Chair, and this committee has always been so good on dealing with disasters, and I really appreciate the help you've given our communities. And appreciate that, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just to address the issue of precedence with regard to these type of agriculture disaster-related funds, the year before, with the same mechanism, the legislature appropriated $3.7 million under the commissioner's authority to the flood damage in southeast Minnesota. So there was no new precedent. We were tracking with what we've always done.
I don't know who those House conferees are, but I'm interested now. Is that bill closed? No, you said it's not. Huh. Well, we can track them down, can't we? And help express the feelings of the Senate.
Madam Chair, do those House conferees on the Ag Conference Committee have anything important in front of this committee?
Let's find out.
Maybe we should figure out who they are. Maybe we can make a little deal.
No. Well, that's really too bad, and I don't, other than what I just heard, I don't know the details of that, but I'll certainly, I don't even know who all the House conferees are, but.
Yeah, I don't either, but I think we should try to figure this out, too. You know, small as it is, but important to some people.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll have to think about that. Okay.
That's for the maintenance.
Oh, we were on maintenance of effort. I'm sorry, Representative Loeffler. Yes, please.
Madam Chair and senators and members, I appreciate the fact that we've spent a lot of time on this, and I really appreciate the effort that all have made to try and understand how the property tax bill and the human service bills interact. And I have proposed and worked with staff on language that would direct the Commissioner of Human Services to work with the Commissioner of Revenue and counties to come up with a proposal that would honor the policies that we've talked about in terms of it being clarifying the property tax impacts of funding decisions, assuring that current services are continued, which is important to the people receiving those services, and that also make sure that there's efforts to control state costs, and that allows us to understand as tax policymakers what the implications of decisions in human services are for future property tax burdens, and that they would come back to us next year with some ideas about how that might work, and we would have models and really understand what the implications might be.
The Senate think this can work? I guess we feel this is really backing away, and I don't want to do that, but from Representative Loeffler's really great work. And members, we have to deal with this. You know, it was that, let's go back to House File 95, and the whole, last summer, and the vetoing of the tax bill was going to be vetoed in large part because of this provision. There were two reasons the bill was going to get vetoed, this one and the health care credit. And then everyone agreed, we'll sign the letter, we'll come back in a session, we'll get things in order. We did all that. That took a long time on both bodies, passing House File 95. And there was all this promise that we're all going to come back and we're all going to do all this stuff. No one's doing anything. And it comes down to really this tax committee, in my mind, the conferees, to take the responsibility here on these other finance chairs that are creating property tax increases. While they're doing good work, they're not doing it maliciously. They're just creating property tax increases, and meanwhile not giving counties the flexibility to potentially save jobs or make different priorities. So I think this at least gets us a study. I don't know what the Senate thinks here. Well, we'll let them think here a minute, but maybe the department can tell us, too. Do you guys want to wordsmith it later? Maybe we can hear from the commissioner. Okay, and then maybe if there's just little concerns, you can work offline. Okay, Commissioner Ines, thoughts on the Loeffler study for MOE? You need your microphone, too.
Thank you for reminding me. Well, you know, this is the first time I've seen the language. I did tell Assistant Commissioner Tim Wilkin that you potentially were working on some language, Representative Loeffler, and that I would give him a heads up once I had a copy. So I do, I'd like to touch bases with him first and foremost. I don't know, maybe Representative Loeffler has had some contact with DHS regarding this, and that would maybe suffice.
Madam Chair and members, I did have a chance to talk to Commissioner Wilkin, and he was actually helpful in working with Pat Dalton on some language that would actually be implementing what we had talked about. He and his staff had actually worked on it. And this is actually a step back from that, because that was actually continuing the plan to say this is where we're going. This is a step back from it and just honors the principles that we've all been discussing since this first started to actually continue the work. And I can't speak for Assistant Commissioner Wilkin, but I would say that given our discussions, I think that they would be receptive to having more time rather than to us putting the actual formula in the statutes at this point in time so that they can can work out the details and the background. And I did think that they did very much appreciate that you and your staff have indicated you'd be glad to handle all the property tax parts of the calculations, because I think that was a bit confusing to them.
Commissioner? Way to put that on the record, Representative Loeffler. I appreciate that. You know, I'd feel a little more comfortable if you gave me a few minutes. I have Commissioner Wilkins' cell phone number. I just like to get
I think this is something we can get done in a little bit today here.
Madam Chair,
Senator Bach?
Let me make a suggestion. I think the Senate likes the idea of doing something like this. You know, we get more information. But I'm a little uncomfortable proceeding without having Senator Berglund at least look at it. I mean, I did get a note from her, and I met with her on the floor yesterday. You know, I mean, the votes are going to be made here, but I think in all fairness to her, we should at least have her look at the language. And possibly she could suggest some better wording. And if she can get that done today, I'm fine with that. If not, when I have the gavel Monday, I'd certainly be willing to bring her down. But I'm not at all saying that we wouldn't do this. But, I mean, there may be some wordsmithing that might actually make the proposal better. I think the Senate's willing to do something like this. I just want to make sure we get the accurate information.
Senator Bach and commissioners, I think we need to do this today. I mean, and senators, they're here. Berglund and I saw all the House conferees in Huntley. They're meeting today too. And
as long as she's here, Madam Chair, I mean, I'm fine with.
I mean, I guess I think that's a good idea for Commissioner Wilkin to quick read it, and Senator Berglund, Senator Representative Huntley. I think the idea of having them all come down and testify and take over the MOE now, when we're really running out of time, and we will be on Monday too, is a little concerning to me. And I'll tell you, I'll just admit my frustration. It's not aimed at Representative Huntley or Senator Berglund. They've had 5 months. We've known about this since June. This has been a charge for the legislature since June, and no one's doing anything. And so now, you know, I mean, I would hope that what we're going to do here is, if they can't all get together, we're going to do something anyhow.
Madam Chair,
this is such a backing off by everybody on this position. Everyone has dropped the ball on this. It's completely irresponsible to me.
Madam Chair, I'm not at all indicating I'm going to do something. I'm just suggesting they may have an additional bullet or two or some additional language that might actually make the study better and collect more information. And not at all indicating I'm trying to not do this, because I absolutely agree with you. You and I were on the phone conference call with the governor last year on about the 1st of June, and we had a long discussion about this, and you're absolutely right. The people in the Health and Human Service community, they brought little to this committee in the form of
property tax increases.
In a willingness to look at this.
They brought property tax increases to this committee.
But if they have some input to actually make this study more meaningful for us, I think we should at least ask for that. But I'm fine with doing it today as long as we can have them take a look at it.
And I think we share the same feeling, and I just, you know, I think, you know, we got the amendment down that was passed that created a big new property tax increase by the House and Senate health conferees, last week. So, I mean, they're working on it in the wrong direction is what I'd say. So I think we should run it by them, but I don't want to not have at least something done this year. I feel like we haven't done our job, and I know you feel the same way, and I appreciate that. Senator Dibble.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I think this is great, and you're right. This is huge step back from, I think, where we understood we'd be going into this session. And I think Representative Loeffler has done amazing work. I mean, that proposal is really impressive. It's a big proposal. I think probably smart to get here, throw open the doors and create a greater buy-in.
Yeah.
I did have a couple of tiny wordsmithy things. I don't know if you want me to mention them now.
Sure, Senator Dibble, please.
One thing we're trying to be consistent on is when we require these studies to do reports back to us, that we also include the report to the ranking minority members of the relevant committees. And then just if there's, maybe I missed it, but if there's some mechanism or some direction to also consult with locals and human service providers.
Representative Loeffler, does that work for you?
Chair, absolutely.
Yes.
Yes, I think you may. I'd be glad to do a little tweaking on the wording and get the input from others. I mean, quite honestly, I have to say that this has been a very difficult year for anyone who's connected to Health and Human Services because the federal stimulus money and the budget targets right. have really overwhelmed them. I had met earlier in the session with Senator Berglund about this, and we'd shared our data, but, I mean, quite honestly, it's the House that stepped up and had, you know, hours and hours of hearings on it, and the Senate just wasn't able to free up that kind of time. I think they'd hoped to be able to, but it has been primarily a House initiative, not that we haven't reached out and provided all the information we've gotten.
Okay, so it sounds like we're going to come back to this later today. Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just a question on the structure of the group that's going to look at this. We're starting with the Commissioner of Human Services and consultation. And, you know, when I was doing some of the ag revenue property tax-related stuff, I always had the Commissioner of Revenue lead the study because it is primarily a property tax issue, so I don't know what you think about that. And maybe a little bit more clarification on who county representatives are. I mean, what would that be? Do we need anything there? I'm just
and I think
up a couple of
if you
questions.
And Representative Loeffler can work that out. I mean, I just feel that we should try to come back by the end of the day, get some input from all the people in the other room. But I think we should just pass something today.
Well, Madam Chair, I do.
And
think
if it works for Senator Scoy and Dibble and get their language in and. I don't want people to look back when everything is at the end and we're in the big world of the big stuff because this seems really tiny and we forget that it's actually billions of dollars of property tax increases. It's not tiny. So I think we should still do something today. And whatever Senator Scoy and Dibble can work out with Representative Loeffler and float the language quick.
Well, Madam Chair, to Senator Scoy's point about the Department of Revenue leading study, I'd like to hear what the commissioner thinks. I guess I tend to think Senator Scoy is right. I think this is a property tax issue, and revenue should probably be in charge of developing the report, but I'd like to hear what the commissioner thinks.
Commissioner. Yeah, Madam Chair, Senator Bach, I feel more comfortable being in a consultation role than in the lead agency. I mean, I said, and you're right, there's property tax implications all over this policy, but when I sat in that meeting with Representative Loeffler and Senator Scoy and the folks from DHS, it became clear to me that this is a DHS, needs to be a DHS-driven initiative. There's a lot of moving pieces that impact that agency and their programs, whether it's mental health or, walking out of that meeting, it's hard to see us in the lead role, very much in the consultation role, running the property tax runs and implications and that kind of thing, providing data on the property tax implications. But to be in the lead role, it's really so grounded in.
Well, Senator Brockton, you know, I mean, again, let's loop back to this. I'll tell you, all I've heard all year is everybody else wants someone else to do it. That's all I've heard. And it's getting old. And so, I mean, if the two departments can figure out who wants to be the lead and how they're going to do all that and tell us, I mean, my idea would be that we get that in or we just cut them out. I don't know. But, you know, we're at the end of session now. We're 8 days to go. And this has been an issue since last June. So that's all, and I'm not blaming the commissioner or the department or Senator Berglund or Representative Huntley or anybody. I think Representative Loeffler got it right. You know, people are distracted, and yet this is billions of dollars of property taxes. So I think for people who want to step up in the next couple hours and solve this, great. And those who don't, I think we should do something anyhow.
Madam Chair, I think people in this room need to understand something's going to happen in this area. The status quo is not acceptable, just not acceptable. So people need to put their thinking caps on about how we make some changes in this area, or the people on this table are going to do it for them. So, I mean, all seriousness to people that are interested in this issue, put your caps on and start figuring this out, because uncontrolled growth in property taxes is unacceptable to me.
And I just want to say, Commissioner, I know you'll do your best shot here to get folk. They're all here. I've seen them today. There's no reason that people can't be dragged out of rooms to stand in hallways right now and just get this figured out. Because I know Health and Human Services is meeting right now. So I'm sure all the relevant people are in this room. At least I saw, maybe someone can correct me if they're not meeting today, but I saw the whole crew walking in. Okay, they're here. So,
Madam Chair, maybe we could assign somebody to deliver this language over to them and they can take a look, and if we don't hear back, we'll just do our thing.
I mean, I don't know how people want to do this, Commissioner. If you have, you know, it sounds like you want to work out with your two departments up here today, and Senator Skoy and Representative Loeffler and Senator Dibble all have language issues that they can get worked on. I don't see any reason why you just can't get something done. And there's always, if there's a really horrible problem, there's the possibility of making further adjustments and further bills. But okay, thank you. Sorry to be so frustrated about it all, but it's just worn me down. We wanted to go to, if we can, CBED's Representative Koonins, and we did a couple already because they were in the Senate and the House, and that was Rukavina's and Pulowski's, but we missed Koonins.
Did we adopt those? The Winona County?
We think we did.
The Winona County and the Maltner?
Yes, so Senator Box, so we missed Representative Koonins. He has one as well. It wasn't in your bill. So Representative Koonin, I don't know where the provision is on the side-by-side.
Madam Chair, it's actually in the House Public Finance bill.
That's why we missed it.
Right. It's House File 1298.
Okay, so that was that handout, which I can't find mine, that was like 4 pages long.
There you go.
Do you all remember this document? Senator Bach, everybody? Okay. So when we were doing all the ones that were the same, we picked up Pulowski's and Rukavina's, or I guess it's, yeah, I don't know who the senator is in Winona.
Which one of these is
it? And now we're just trying to get Koonin. So does everyone understand it? Because you could just make the motion, unless, is there a problem with anyone on the Senate side of that?
Is this sections 14 and 15?
Madam Chair, it's sections 14, 15, and then also section 30.
Senator Skoy?
Well, is any of that in the side-by-side?
No. Senator Skoy, there were two. There was the Mountain Iron and the Winona provisions that are the same kind of thing, CBADs, that you carried in your Senate Public Finance bill. So we adopted them, and we had them too. But Representative Koonins, we had not yet passed our public finance bill. Representative Koonins was not in yours. So we're trying to add that in now. So I don't know where the Senate provisions were that we already adopted. I mean, someone could tell us where that is on the side-by-side, but they've been adopted. Page 72 and 73.
That's what they're talking about. Right. That's good. Yeah, what community is this?
Representative Koonin? Curious question.
No idea. Representative Koonin, what communities are we working with now?
Okay. Madam Chair and Senator Skoy, this is actually includes all counties in the state and the Met Council. And what this does is allow bonding authority for counties on energy projects and energy purchases.
Madam Chair.
Senator Dibble.
Do we have actual language? I'm not familiar with Section 30. I'm very supportive of Section 14 and 15. I'm very familiar with that. I just want to acquaint myself with the language of Section 30 that authorizes Met Council to enter into seabeds if they use their transit and wastewater bonding authority.
Oh, sure. Can anyone get the language for the public finance bill?
We have it in our pile.
Okay. Okay. No, not if they're not doing that. Senator Bach, the House side is not clear that the other provisions were ever adopted. Because the Senate, they're saying they weren't either.
I didn't have them down as adopted.
I don't think they are.
Oh, well, then we can do all three.
Thanks.
We thought they were adopted. So let's, you know, maybe we need some copies of the House Public Finance Bill in here.
Well, I think
because that they're not on the side by side because we passed them separately.
Oh. Madam Chair, I'm interested in, for example, the Winona County one that came to us did not have an open meeting law requirement. The Senate added one. I'm interested if this language. I think that's pretty important.
Okay.
Interested to know.
Can we get a copy of the House Public Finance Bill and we can see the language of all three? I mean, we could do all three. I mean, maybe we could just. So we could take the Senate language on those two.
Oh, you want me to move that?
Well, I'd rather get all three of them together. I mean, I want to make sure we've got Representative Koonins.
But I think we have different language. Yeah, I mean, I'm fine moving them all together, but.
Well, Senator Dibble wanted to follow up on section 30.
Looks great.
Okay, so Senator Dibble's okay with that. Senator Skoy?
Well, Madam Chair, just so I'm clear, the two provisions in the Senate bill deal with two communities, and your provision is statewide. So that's, you know, that's not exactly the same.
No, you're right. I mean, I guess, you know, Rep. Sam Coonan will just jump in here. But, I mean, you know, we're starting. We did some of these before. I mean, it seems like every county wants them now. So why won't we let them all have local bonding authority to do it? Does anyone see any problem with that?
Yeah. Madam Chair, I'm a little skeptical of this whole seabed idea.
You've got a couple in your bill.
Well, but I'm
you don't like them.
I mean, I'm just kind of generally skeptical. It's kind of like the third party level. I mean, by the time it actually gets to the transmission line, it seems like we're adding some layers, and in the course we add cost. And I understand we got the renewable mandate on our hands, and the XLs and the MPs of the world got to figure out where they get renewables. But you know, I realize we have the seabed program. This is probably something worth doing, except I think we all need to understand. I think it adds cost. I think it adds cost to the power of the cost of electricity we buy. But
Rep. Sam Coonan.
Madam Chair and Senator Bach, I should add, too, that this includes all types of energy projects, not just seabed. And also it makes a correction from last year. Last year there was a typo which limited these to solar projects, and this takes that language out to include all renewable energy projects.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know. I'm willing to hear more. I guess I don't want to do any of them then if we're not going to do.
Well, I mean, Madam Chair, I just think people need to do this with their eyes wide open. You know, I mean, the cheapest way to get power is for the person that's going to distribute it to own it. When you allow, I mean, costs get built in when it goes from the community and gets sold then to the wholesaler, there's an additional cost in that. I mean, we just all need to admit that, because, you know, when we've talked about renewable energy around here and the renewable energy standard, people stood up on the floor of the Senate and said, at least, this isn't going to add any cost to electricity. And I don't know, I saw Minnesota Power run a full-page ad in the Duluth and the Iron Range newspaper, full page from the CEO blaming the legislature for their most recent rate increase because of their renewable energy mandate that they have. I wasn't very happy to see the CEO do that, but I don't dispute the fact that renewable energy has a cost, and I think we all need to admit that. I support it. I think it's a good idea, renewable energy is, but I think we need to start being a little more honest about the fact that going to renewable energy is going to make electricity more expensive. I think that's okay. But people need to quit saying that it doesn't cost anything, because it does. But I think there's a benefit to it. And I just wish people would at least start talking about it a little more honestly than we have been. It's not throwing cold water on renewable energy. I think it's an important direction for the country to go. But we all need to recognize, you know, it's beneficial to the environment, so that's a good thing. The extent we can generate it here and not have to import foreign oil is a good thing. But let's be honest about the fact that it is going to cost more. That's my only comment about the whole idea of going to these seabed projects is it is going to add some additional cost. We just need to all understand that. Not that I'm against the seabed projects, but we need to kind of do this with our eyes wide open.
Rep. Sam Coonan.
Madam Chair and Senator Bach, and when the counties were discussing this whole thing, they're looking for some flexibility, and I'm sure that if it's going to cost them a ton more, you know, make costs higher for their taxpayers, they're not going to do it. So that's part of the equation. They're just looking for some more flexibility on different options.
I mean, I support the idea of expanding it to, you know, all renewable energy options. Wind doesn't work everywhere.
So is there a suggestion on how the Senate wants to proceed? Hold all three and come back in a little bit here, or take them all? What
You know, these bills were heard in energy on our side. I don't know. And we're having an energy policy debate now. And, you know, we're focused on the public finance, which is letting them do local bonding for it. But so on our side, they went through the Energy Committee. Senator Dibble.
Well, for my part, I'm okay with taking the whole package, the Senate and the House provisions. I have a slightly different view than Senator Bach does on whether or not renewable energy adds costs. To be sure, in the short run, there are some additional costs. I mean, I don't want to get in a big energy speech here, but the way to bring down costs, of course, is through the efficiency provisions that we also have in our state goals. That significantly brings down the costs across baseload and adding renewable. But a big reason why our current electrical system is cheap, and we have very, very inexpensive power in Minnesota, because we rely very heavily on coal resources that are close by. You know, that's good in the long run, but, you know, the energy sector doesn't pay for a lot of the costs that get borne much, much more widely across our economy and across other sectors. We kind of use the atmosphere as kind of a dumping ground for free, and we're going to see great costs if we don't get a handle on those long-term implications. We also have great opportunity for expanded economic development as we develop new technologies, new resources in the electrical energy generation sector. So that's my speech.
Representative Kunin.
Madam Chair, I would like to go ahead and move all three of these. The other two are, is it page 73?
Bottom of 72.
My line's one off. 72 or 3.
Okay, it's are we looking at the Senate language?
Section 32.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the section, Article 6 on the Senate side, Section 32 and is it 34 also?
Yep.
Section 32, Section 34 of Article 6 in the Senate side. And also on the handout from the House Public Finance Bill, House File 1298, Section 14, 15, and
30. Okay, discussion to the motion. Does everyone have that? Discussion to the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. Motion carries. And Senator Bach, Senator Moi, we're trying to.
No, we're not
ready, but we just want you to know we've asked. I've asked Ms. Dalton, and Representative Markworth's trying to do it simultaneously. We're trying to figure out a way to deal with Senator Moi's problem with the farmers. And, you know, I take very seriously what she said, and we've gone. I meant to go back to this, and that's Representative Dietrich and Senator Foley's Coon Rapids issue, which is a commitment the state made to them, and has 1 year left to honor it. And Ms. Dalton, I just want to say, is going to try to find a way we could get these provisions done. So we want to come back to that if we can. And I know it's not really a normal situation, but I think Senator Moi made a really good point, and it's disappointing. So, I suppose we'll take some guff from it if we proceed with this. But I just want to get some reaction before they work too hard here on if everyone would be okay with that.
Madam Chair, we could send a strong message to the House Ag conferees. All we would have to do is adopt the SCOI provision relative to the 50% in green acres.
We can't do that.
I believe, Madam Chair, they'd get the message.
Yes, they would.
And Madam Chair, it wouldn't cost us any money.
We'd get a lot more than those guys getting a message, though. We'd get a lot of other things as a result of that. Senator Scoy.
But, Madam Chair, we really should listen to what the department and the assessors are saying with regard to that provision.
Yes.
And about how unworkable it is. There's some serious policy problems.
And we do want to get down. I've got that on the list to get down to that. I figured that was going to be a little rougher a little later. But I just, if that's okay, we do want to try to proceed with that. So I think Ms. Dalton will maybe be trying to catch Senator Moi here as we're going along here, figure something out here. So, okay, so thank you. That last one passed. The next thing we came up with that we wanted to at least talk about, and I know, Senator Bach, you want to deal with, I think, the utility issues in the next opportunity we have to work on some things, but we want to talk about Representative Kalin's Chisago. Does anybody know where that is? And I don't know who the senator is. I have to think about that for a minute. Senator,
who is
Senator for Representative Galen.
Who's the Senator?
She's
Holstein, probably.
Holstein, yeah, maybe.
Taylor's Falls.
Yeah, we're looking.
Is this in the public finance bill? Why did someone hand me the public? Page 37.
Article 6, Section 5.
Ms. Baker, can you get the mic closer? Or, you know, hard to hear you. No mic. Do you want to come to the table? We can't hear you. This one in the big bill?
He's got one too.
Yeah.
I think. Hang on, just a second, okay. Ms. Baker. I'm sorry. Okay. We've got some. No. Yes. Yeah. Can you just stay there, though? We want you. What? Do you have another one?
Well, it's in our bill.
Yeah.
Oh, what is that? Is it showing up on the side?
Madam Chair, I think these are pretty controversial, and I think they maybe should be done in the bigger bill. I think there's a bigger discussion.
Okay.
The Senate has some considerably different language than the House relative to this.
Okay,
I mean, I think we have a pretty extensive discussion about this personal property tax exemption on these peaking plants. I think it's bigger than a discussion we have time for today.
Well, that part I agree. I think if there were a change there in the bigger issue, it would supersede something like this. But we have, I mean, I think that's a statewide policy change. But Representative Kalin is trying to do what we've done for a lot of.
Well, and Senator Skoy has one in our bill, and frankly, if we're going to do them, people are going to be surprised by this, but if we're going to do them, I have one. Believe that or not, guys.
Let's do them.
And then we can have a larger discussion next week. But
well, that's a possibility.
Except mine's upstairs, but I guess we can probably get it. But I hate to even say it, but if we're going to do them, I have to put one of my own in the mix.
I've got one,
too. I can't believe it. But.
Well, I mean, because I don't, you know, we don't want to waste a lot of time here if we're not going to do anything here. I mean, do folks want to? I think Representative Kalin would actually like to be part of the discussion if we're going to kind of get into the full-blown.
Well, you can talk about those two. We'll have a big discussion next time. Yeah. Madam Chair,
because I think
Senator Olsen talked to me about it yesterday, and it seemed like in his case here that we're talking about right now, I think the fact that the Senate has raised this issue has caused some discussion between the developers of this plant and his local governments. And he told me yesterday that there were negotiations going on and that the plant now was willing to enter into some kind of a payment in lieu with the local government, and Senator Olsen suggested to me yesterday that sounds like the developers of this plant might be willing to pay an in lieu payment to the city of about $500,000 a year for the next 5 years. And I think the only reason those discussions are happening is I think there's a question about this exemption, and the developer is trying to address some of the concerns the Senate's had about, you know, there is a cost burden that these facilities put on local governments. And I guess I'm pleased that the discussion the Senate has had on this is leading that developer down the road of some kind of a payment in lieu for the host community. So I'm not sure yet today if we close this up. They're in the middle of those negotiations. I think we probably hurt the hand of the local government that's negotiating that in lieu of payment. And I just became aware of that last night on the floor of the Senate.
Can I suggest then that we drop this and move on to the next item and take that all up on Monday, the Kalin, Olsen, the Skoy, the Yore issue, and the whole big thing, and go to that on Monday?
Okay, and Madam Chair, maybe I could suggest to the people interested in this issue, I'll have the gavel Monday. Let's try to deal with this these personal property tax exemptions sometime Monday. I don't know if it'll be in the morning or in the afternoon, but Let's have a discussion about that.
Okay, so and if Senator Bach, and if it's okay, then so Representative Kalin will be interested in. He's just been called, and they're going to call him now and tell him, don't come now, but we can talk on Monday. Okay, so is that okay?
Let's drop that one today.
And then we thought we wanted to go to, we still really, I had a conversation with Senator Bach just in the hall, I think yesterday, just for a moment, that we really, Representative Faust really is interested in this provision he has. And I think, Senator Bach, you were trying to think of something there. We're hoping to talk about that a little bit. And I don't know if anybody knows where that is on the side-by-side again. We've talked about this once, briefly. It's the tax-forfeited lands?
It's page 43.
Page 43.
Yeah.
Do you want to?
Well, Madam Chair, let me just say this. I'm not, and anybody watching this conference committee can see that I'm really not that interested in kind of trading nickels back and forth and making proposals and leveraging things. I like to see the committee kind of develop consensus on things. So, I mean, I heard Senator Stump's speech last night. They're putting their offers and counteroffers on the web for people to see, and it made me think, well, I guess maybe I just kind of deal with these kind of negotiations differently. So I'm really, Madam Chair, not interested in creating some kind of linkage between, you know, the apprenticeship language and the marine language that I would like for the provision that Representative Faust wants. I guess I'm not interested in packaging something like that. I don't think we need to do that for us all to get where we need to get. But I know Representative Faust really wants to do something on this. So Senator Skoy and I have talked about it. We really think this is a really bad precedent to allow this land that generates these proceeds that really is state land and the county is administering it. And the state, for the cost of administering that land, we allow the county to keep the proceeds. And we say part of those proceeds got to be invested back in the land. And there's we give them all kinds of opportunities to reinvest that. And I was a little disappointed to see the sheet of how many counties are carrying money on the bottom line in art that are not reinvesting this back into trails or parks or into reforestation. And that really is the intended use of these proceeds of these tax forfeited lands. But now I realize, I think it was Representative Faust, the former county commissioner. Is that, what's his background?
Sam Coonan, do you know? I don't think so.
So anyway, I was just, let me think out loud, Madam Chair. Senator, I haven't talked to Senator Skoy about this, but isn't it Pine County? We're talking about Pine County, I think. Was that his concern?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Pine County.
Yes.
I was just kind of thinking out loud this morning that we do something here, and I understand how important this is to Representative Faust. He's been to see me several times about this, and I appreciate his willingness to kind of narrow it down, but I think Senator Skoy and I are really uncomfortable making a statewide policy out of this. So I was kind of thinking, well, how could we accommodate Representative Faust to give that county a little bit of additional wiggle room to use some of this money they for another purpose? And I was thinking just recently, I think in last year's tax bill, we gave them a little bit of money to help them offset some of their costs relative to the construction of the new Judicial Center courthouse building. It's right on Highway 35.
Thanks.
Remember the issue? They came in asking for a sales tax exemption on the construction material, and we didn't do that because we hadn't done that for courthouses before. There's been a lot of requests for that. But we did give them, I want to say, a couple hundred thousand dollars that really, one time, that was kind of set up as to help cover, not do the exemption on sales tax, but we did give them, I want to say it was a couple hundred, 250,000. I was thinking maybe we could somehow say that in a county that built a new courthouse judicial center in whatever year that was, we could give that county some flexibility over this money, which I think would give Representative Falls kind of what he needs, and then wouldn't set a precedent statewide. And I'm just thinking out loud here.
Maybe for 5 years after the courthouse is built or something.
So. I think that would give him what he, and that's because I really want counties to invest this money in the intended purpose. You know, that's the state's land, and we should want this money reinvested in parks and trails and reforestation. So I'm very uncomfortable going. I guess I'd like to keep it as narrow as we can. But I do recognize, Representative Marquardt, I do understand trying to give counties some flexibility over you know, pots of money that they have. But at the same time, this is state land, and I think we should, requiring them to invest some portion of it back in the land, I think is an important objective. Should be an important objective of the criteria. When we're allowing them to keep the proceeds, we ought to expect them to put some of the money back in. So I'd like to keep this as narrow as we can, but still try to be able to accommodate Representative Faust if we can.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, and, you know, like you, I don't like to just carve little things out when it probably should be statewide. But what you're doing here isn't carving it out of this. You would link it specifically to this county that had this building, and you're linking it to that. So you're not making a law and then just dwindling it down to a little area. Like, that's the problem with the Lanesboro thing. We had problems. So I guess I think it would take care of at least what Representative Faust, it would be something I think he would.
Well, Madam Chair, this is probably, had we known, had we kind of discovered this issue last year, this probably would have been the right way to pay for the money that we gave them last year. We probably could have saved some general fund.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I just passed out something Ms. Baker gave me from House Research, and I think everyone can see it now, where these forfeited tax special revenue funds are going, and I think Senator Bach's making a good point here. And I think, you know, I'll just be, you know, straight up and transparent. We're always told on the House side from the minority that we're not transparent, but I think this is a really transparent committee, and I think we've done everything transparently. There's a number of items we have left here that I think we need to tighten and compromise here to get through this today. So I think that's a good approach on there. I'll just say I don't know that any of these things can pass or not, but you've just raised the marine issue, the apprentice issue. I have the elderly issue, Senator Pogamiller and Representative Loeffler's. There are some public finance items we have not done. There's a St. Paul provision that I think everybody will be fine with all that stuff. We want to finish the Coon Rapids and Senator Moise issue that she's raised. I can't read my own handwriting on OPEB. We wanted to talk about that, and I think we have to think about maybe some middle ground there. And then Representative Loeffler wants to talk about relative homesteads, and I think we have some concerns after I kind of created the problem on the housing replacement districts by trying to think through going statewide after we've learned about it more and we're not too keen on it. And then there's those pooling provisions, and that kind of all comes together. So I think in the interest of time, I think it makes sense to maybe direct staff to try to do these than rather taking a lot of time to work through everything and get it back here and just try to adopt them. And then we'll have Monday, if they don't work, to be able to reopen things and go, you know, did that really work? Because I think we could just adopt what you just said about Representative Faust's provision, but we don't have language. And so I just thought, maybe could we just talk about, are we okay with doing that with a number of these provisions where we can start directing staff? Because I think, you know, we're just really going to run out of time if we're not going to be in tomorrow.
Madam Chair, I'm comfortable with that. And Monday, that can be the first thing we take up, I guess, is to kind of take a look at what we, in principle, adopted and just kind of reserve the right to make small modifications to reflect maybe closer to what our intent was. But, I mean, I trust your research, Michael, and Council Zoff and Hasty to bring us, you know, some sensible language here.
Does that work for everybody then? Because we could just do the motion. I mean, I don't know that we want to get into every nuance. Well, Senator Scoy.
Well, Madam Chair, and, you know, I don't know who's here from the counties, but I think we ought to tell them, look, you know, the Association of Minnesota Counties, talk to your members about doing something with these funds. I mean, this is
absolutely
this is land that you can use for recreation. you can bring people into your communities that'll spend money. You got this money sitting there that should be invested in these parcels for the public to use, and send a message to them.
Well, Madam Chair, I just want to, I think Senator Skoy makes a good point. I want to make something clear to the counties here that I told Representative Faust is if the counties aren't going to reinvest this money back in the land, then maybe the state should take the money. There's a pot of money here that we could pretty easily claw back to help with our problem. And if they're not willing to reinvest it in this state land that they're administering, well, then maybe we ought to claw back here and we'll spend it on something that's important. So let's get going. And maybe there's some good projects in the works here, and we've just got a snapshot in time here. And maybe a lot of this money is maybe committed to projects that haven't gone out the door yet. But I just want to be clear with counties that I don't like seeing these kind of fund balances, and this money should be reinvested. And I'm not going to propose doing anything with it this year, but I guess if I continue to see this year after year that this is not going back in, then what's the point? My own county, St. Louis County. Now, St. Louis County has a lot of tax forfeited land. They've got about 900,000 acres of it, so I guess maybe they only have a dollar an acre here on the bottom line. So, I realize that's not a big pot of money in St. Louis County, but St. Louis County, I'm sure, has more of that land than any other county in the state. I just wanted to kind of get that on the record. Senator Skoy and I have had that discussion. Come on, let's get, we can do some good work for the public here at the county level, I think. I'd like to encourage them to get going on that. Because I really...
So Representative Marquardt and Senator Moi both have a comment on this.
Okay, Madam Chair, Ms. Dalton said this would be, in going to what Senator Bach was saying, the area you could link this to for Pine County would be the County Program A, Chapter 477A.0124, Subdivision 5, County Transition Aid, and then it has the part, in 2009, only a county with a 2006 population, an average Part 1 crimes, and that was the Pine County. Is that correct? So we could link it to that for one time?
I think we let them clear the money out one time.
Okay.
And then going forward, which is not a small amount of money,
okay.
But going forward, we want them to reinvest this money on the land for the benefit of the people that live in the county.
I'm going to make the motion to direct staff to allowing.
That's okay. We can just do them one by one.
Allowing Pine County only under Chapter 477A.0124, County Program Aid, Subdivision 5 under County Transition Aid under B, and direct staff to make it work under that area.
And Madam Chair, the thought is one time we would let them draw money out of this account.
Yeah.
Or
we're going to let the staff come back with that, right?
Well, Representative
Faust,
I think it suggested that they be able to draw it down to 500,000. I'm not wed to a number, but that's what he suggested to me.
I think staff can check with him, and we'll see that then.
I think I saw language he had suggested allow counties to draw it down to 500,000. So
we can just check.
Why don't we check with them?
Does everyone understand the motion? We can adopt that. I think that's a good. Then we'll have it adopted. If there's some big problem on Monday, we're going to know it. Here's an idea.
Right now, it's limited to whatever their aid loss is. That's what's in the bill.
Well, they're probably going to have more aid loss than that.
Yeah.
Well, no more.
Well, let's let the staff choose with him.
Yeah.
Why don't staff bring us some suggested language?
Okay. So staff's going to work on that one. We've got it in principle here. Does everyone understand the motion? Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Motion carries. Okay.
Where was that? I'm sure I can mark that off.
42.
Page 42 of the bottom.
Section 21, Article 6.
And then, let's see. Senator Moi.
Madam Chair, in the spirit of having staff look at consensus items, I'm not sure if the department has shared the work that they've been doing in the use deed language, but would the committee be willing to maybe direct and have Mr. Nord and the department brief the House staff on what it is that they've been doing just so that they get a they can give you feedback on what the work that has been done, if that hasn't been done already, for the discussion.
Okay, so Senator Moore, that's a good idea. I just want to be also very transparent. Representative Mullery is in the over my dead body position of he's carrying a bill and he wants it heard and it got stalled in the process. So I want to get him involved with this as well.
And Madam Chair, we've been sensitive to that, and the one group of individuals that he want to be involved in the conversation has been the real estate section of the State Bar Association. And in fact, Mr. Dunleavy, who has been the sort of the expert on behalf of that group, has been involved in a lot of the real estate proposals have come before the legislature, and he has been working with the county and with the department and with a number of different players and with Mr. Hosty, and I think they're on their kind of 10th revision. So I just want to make sure that we see if House staff will be brought in. Now, if you think that you're not ready and you just don't want to go anywhere, then we don't have to do any more work on this. But I think the real estate section of the Bar Association came in and have had conversations with the department, and they've fully vetted this among the experts who know way more about this than any of us. So I just want to put that out there for the members to consider.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Dibble, please.
I'm not clear. Is Representative Mullery's issue Eustis, or is he holding up Eustis for something else?
No, we heard it in the department bill that the folks on the committee, both sides of the aisle, had a number of issues, and we felt it should be alone. It wasn't a non-controversial, technical sort of thing.
Right.
Representative Mullery introduced a bill on it. It got sent to local government, and I think Representative Plowski did not hear it. And we felt strongly that the local government committee should have been hearing it and understanding it, and so it just kind of, that's where it ended, I think. I don't know if that's a fair characterization. Ms. Cadoon, Assistant Commissioner Cadoon, did you want to jump in on that?
Madam Chair, my understanding was it was more we had let you know that it really is a kind of a complicated issue and it was going to take a little bit of committee time. And so the way the property tax division was working, they kind of ran out of time, I think, to hear the use deed. And also realized, as I said, that some other committees might want to hear it, like local government and I think environment heard and judiciary. So that's why it was really kind of, I think, pulled out and heard separately. For the controversy, we had separate meetings with the groups that were interested, the counties and cities and others, and at this point they all seem to be either neutral or supportive of the bill as it currently is amended. So it was more of a timing constraint, I think, than anything on the House side versus any controversy.
But as Representative Mullery is the chief author in the House, was he included in all those meetings?
He was made aware of them, and it was also, we had encouraged, if you could, to get some hearings, but it was more, like I said, a time constraint for the hearing, the committee that it was sent to.
So can maybe someone make contact with Representative Mullery and brief him on all this before Monday or early Monday or something? And maybe we could talk about more. Yep,
Madam Chair, when we heard the use deed issue in the Senate Tax Committee, I asked the department, it was clear there was some controversy around it. I asked the department and all the stakeholder groups to get together and try to work out an agreement, because the department clearly has a problem here. And I actually went to the very first meeting. It was up in 318 here in the Capitol, and that room was full of people. I mean, the entire table was full. So I believe all the stakeholder groups were involved. I know they had multiple meetings. And I know maybe, Madam Chair, we can have Mr. Nord speak to it, or if you want to deal with it on Monday. But a lot of work was put into this with all the people that would be potentially impacted.
Okay.
I think, Madam Chair, we should hear what Mr. Nord has to say. He's done incredible work
right
on
now,
this
yeah.
issue. Or we can.
We're running out of
we
time
can wait,
here.
We can wait till Monday.
Because it'd be great if we could do motions today, and we can't move this anyhow. No. And I've made the commitment to Representative Mullery. I would get him in the loop on this.
And, Madam Chair, I am very sensitive to process issues. I'm very sensitive to that. And absolutely, we need to get Representative Mullery involved in the conversation. I think that once he's been briefed and he has an opportunity to see what the language is, I don't think he should have a problem with it.
Okay. That sounds good. I mean, it must be as it's being portrayed, to have so many people feel like it's all worked out. Our chief author has not been involved. So
Madam
Monday
Chair,
morning.
Madam Chair, you're the chief author. This was in the department's technical bill.
Yeah. I took it out.
If somebody took a piece out and decided somebody else wanted to carry it, but at the end of the day, this was a department proposal, and you and I were the authors. And I did little work on it except to try to convene people. Senator Mwah did much more work on the issue than I did. But well, you and I are going to own this compromise if there is one.
And what I would say is what we did in the House is everybody who had a problem with these provisions, we removed them bipartisanly. So we very purposefully said we're not doing that. And so now, you know, I want to get Representative Mueller involved. So I appreciate it, and we'll work on that one. And I thought like to do is get to under the rainbow first, because we're not quite ready in a couple things. Here's what we're thinking. You had concerns with some language change, and I don't want to take an hour on this. I think the House wants to resolve this for once and for all very quickly here. So I think we can just take a motion and then have a discussion from Senator Bach on what he thinks. And if it doesn't work, then we can withdraw the motion. But I just, you know, we've all talked about this till we don't need an hour of public testimony now. We all understand the issues here. And we have to resolve this year. So I'm going to ask Representative Marquardt just to make a motion here, and then we can talk about it. We'll hang on so that I want Senator Bach to hear the motion. Just on under the rainbow? Just on under the rainbow?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's take Representative Marquardt's motion.
Madam Chair.
Is it that? You want to show a poem? Maybe let me just take it, because we're trying to.
Thanks.
We think you're wanting the same thing that we were going to move. So can we just check? Because I think it's just going to solve a lot of time, and you can make some comments, and then we can move on.
I just think, well, go ahead, make the motion.
Is that the right one? Because you're the chief author, right? Is he the chief author too? Okay, so. I'd like Representative Marquardt to make the motion. He's the chief author in the House. He's worked on this with everybody forever. So, you know, there's controversy remaining yet, but the alternative is to do nothing, and that's not going to satisfy anybody. So the House is willing to go to the Senate's language here. But Representative Marquardt, I don't know if you're ready with the motion. If it doesn't work how we think it does, then
just want to make sure it's in the right
back.
Spot here.
Madam Chair.
Senator Squay.
Did Representative Marquardt attend all those that you've heard about?
Went to a lot of
Madam
them.
Chair, I was not part of all those meetings at Revenue Department.
While he's getting that right, can I just say, and I know all of us feel this way, I just want to publicly thank Representative Marquardt. He's been an incredible property tax chair. And Senator Bach, I'm sure you feel the same way. You know, folks who maybe don't think about it this way, the best thing for a chair is to have a division chair who works really hard and takes on lots of tough issues, as these two members do. And I didn't want to deal with this. It's like many things. They're very detailed. They get long and exhausting, large groups. And I asked Representative Marquardt if he would take this on, and he did. And this is just one example where people who are hard workers take on hard problems and tackle them, and they just don't get enough credit around here. So I do want to thank Representative Marquardt, who spent a lot of time this session with lots of people trying to get this right, and just understand that folks may not realize how there's a percentage of legislators who work a lot harder than a lot of other legislators. And there's some who are kind of don't do too much, and there's some people who complain a lot. And people should know that Representative Marquardt is one of these incredibly hardworking legislators who's tackled all these things. And we're going to take a motion and be done with it in a minute. But the public often doesn't understand what goes into these to kind of getting to that point. Senator Bach.
Well, Madam Chair, I'll just be straight up. I couldn't run the Senate Tax Committee without Senator Squay. And he does not only the property tax division, he's also the vice chair of the committee. So he has to do double duty. But we have an incredible relationship. We work really well as a team, and he does a lot of heavy lifting.
Yeah.
It takes a real load off of me.
Yes.
A lot of people want to see me.
So noted. I mean, folks just need to understand that part, and recognition is needed. Representative Mark, chair motion.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and thank you very much for those kind comments. And it's
Madam Chair.
It's been an honor to work with you.
After those comments, now I can't say what I wanted to say, which was to Representative Marquardt, no good deed will go unpunished.
Thank you very much. Speaking of charity.
Excuse me, Senator Dibble.
I wanted to say thank you to Representative Marquardt and Senator Scoy as well.
Yes.
Yeah, they're a big help to the committee members, too, and Senator Scoy especially. Really smart guy who just drops in little suggestions once in a while to help us with the bills that are
right.
Little gems. So thank you.
Well, and let me say,
thank you.
Madam Chair, 9 years ago, I never would have thought I would be sitting on a tax conference committee. And it is a huge honor, and it's only because of you, Madam Chair, that I'm here. So I appreciate that and being part of this. So thank you. I am going to move.
Where are we?
House, we're on page 34 on the side-by-side. We're going to move Article 6 of the House position, Section 2, Institutions of Public Charity, with the amendment that is provided here. It's page 34, Article 6, Section 2, with the SCH 2323A1 amendment. So I will move that, and then if we can do debate.
Okay, so Senator Bach, the amendment that Representative Marquardt just moved, you want to explain what we're doing here?
Well,
Madam Chair. Could I explain the amendment?
Sure.
So before we go on, here's what the amendment, it's dealing with that part about if we don't know for sure if you fall under all of the six North Star standards. We had language in the House bill that said dealing with you had to have reasonable justification for, you know, being able to fit this in. The Senate had compelling factual reason. And I think this is a good compromise. It gets the word factual in there and it has the word justification in there, but does not have the word compelling. So what it reads now in place, and the organization provides to the assessor the factual basis for that justification. So, and the organization provides to the assessor the factual basis for that justification. I think that's good language.
Senator Bach.
Madam Chair, I'd like to hear what the commissioner thinks, because I do think this closes that what potentially I think could be an awful big loophole. I'd like to hear from the commissioner.
Please, Commissioner Innes.
Madam Chair, Senator Bach, that seems like a reasonable compromise. I'm looking at Ms. Avner in the audience to see if she gives me a head nod. Yeah. Because, you know, we worked so hard on this, and it was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and some screaming, and we finally got to a delicate compromise, so I want to make sure I honor that agreement with the nonprofits. And I think that's a reasonable compromise, and I see a head nod in favor of it from Ms. Avner. So that should be acceptable, Representative Marquardt. Thank you.
And Madam Chair, if Mr. Hagan could have 30 seconds, I think will give us even more comfort on all of this.
Mr. Hagan, yes, please.
Madam
it says
Chair.
Senator Rust, by the way, so oh. Welcome. Mr.
Hagan. That would be a significant promotion. But, Madam Chair, Representative Marquardt, we're fine with that language. And as you've alluded to, we did an awful lot of work to try to get to this point. And we're not, as you were talking last night or the night before, whenever we last met here, about how you compromise and things. And I guess in this case, nobody's really truly enamored with the language. It's the very best we could do. And it became pretty clear in the process that we could not develop a bright line test when it could easily be determined when something qualified and it didn't qualify. We did, I think, add a lot of improvements to the language, and as I've heard, one of our attorneys said, that we basically condensed about 40 years of case law that nobody could really agree on what it said into the language that most people agreed was workable, and certainly this language does not change that at all. It might perhaps in fact improve it. Something that makes me feel even more confident going forward is that we are, in the next month or so, the department will be developing a review committee that will be charged with, and it'll be composed of a representative from the Council of Nonprofits, a representative from the department, and a representative from the MAO. And we will look at difficult issues that will be brought to us by counties and by property owners on exemption, what should and what should not qualify for exemption. And we'll look at that and render a non-binding determination on what our opinion is. And we think that'll go a great way towards making certain that the boundaries are not changed and we neither expand or contract the existing basis of our exemption. And additionally, as I believe both the House and Senate language provide, that at the end of this process, the department will be issuing a bulletin with examples and some best practices and recommendations on how exemption should be treated going into the future. So I'm quite confident that, if anything, we've tightened things up and given more direction to property tax administrators and to property owners.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are we Representative Marquardt?
Well, I renew my motion and one...
Son.
Okay. Also included is that is I'd like to add to the motion section 36. It's the purpose. They need to add that part also. There's two parts in it. So Article 6, Section 36, I will add that also to my motion. And while doing that, thank Marcia and her team for all of her great hard work on all of this. So
okay, Senator Bach, did you want to comment on this before we vote? Now we've heard from Mr. Hagan, the Commissioner, Representative Marquardt, I think.
Madam Chair, if the department is comfortable, I'm comfortable.
Senator Dibble.
Thanks. I did want to spend just a little bit more time on this subject after we take this motion, which is fine.
Fire away. We're trying to hurry. We're trying to do a lot of provisions.
Madam Chair, I just have a question on the bottom of page 34 on the right-hand side. It said the Senate language refers to a profit that is not distributed to private interests. I just need to find out from counsel what that
Ms. Senate, off.
What that means.
Madam Chair.
Senator Dibble.
So as you go through and you answer these questions, whether the stated purpose of the undertaking is to be helpful to others without immediate expectation of material reward, the answer is yes. And then you get to that question, and the answer needs to be no to meet the test, and it's confusing.
I see.
So just make sure that the answer to that question is also yes. So you go down the list, yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I got
yes,
it. Okay. Yes. So is that the part you wanted to discuss?
Well,
is that
no, or no, that's
okay,
not.
Okay.
Well, that's one thing. But
I think the Senate language is probably better.
Yep.
Add that to your motion.
I will add that to my motion. Take the Senate language on that.
On the fourth bullet.
On the fourth bullet.
Yep. Does everyone understand all of that? Did you want, Senator Dibble, do you want to talk, or were we going to vote first, or what are we doing?
Yeah,
here?
No. I just want to clarify that this captures a couple of instances of organizations. So I maybe ask, I want to get to legislative intent.
Okay, let's have Senator Dibble's questions answered before we vote here. So, Senator Dibble.
Where are we?
We don't know.
Senator, if you want it on the tape, speak into the microphone.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
We need to hear you on the mic there.
So I think Mr. Hagan is familiar with the concern, and that is, in those circumstances, particularly, best described by the Historic Theater Group, a nonprofit that runs a theater in downtown Minneapolis, but there are other examples like that, in a municipal property, nonprofit, does provide some charitable purposes, but nevertheless, maybe not be entirely construed like a human services agency and the like. This whole subject of, materiality, material donation, material expectation and the like, if that's a descriptive enough question, do you think that this language captures an organization like that? And I know the legislative intent already says, we're not trying to expand or contract, and does that help us as well?
Madam Chair, Senator Dibble, I believe it does. And in addition to that, we hold quite close to a 1963 Attorney General opinion that, with respect to the Guthrie Theater, that sort of carves out a part for theaters. And quoting from that opinion, they mentioned that theaters and things of that nature were exempt, that had a qualifying mission of providing education that specifically entailed to promote, stimulate, and support community education, appreciation, and development of cultural arts through dramatic performance and other means. And these organizations that provide entertainment and theater to students, and a lot of the education is the charity of the Supreme Court, or excuse me, the Attorney General has held. So in my opinion, there's no question that theaters like the Guthrie and State Theater, the Orpheum, Panchagas, theaters of those nature would have nothing. They would definitely continue to be exempt.
And Madam Chair?
Senator Devil.
Are we going to help assessors? I know you're going to put out a communication of some sort. Are we going to help assessors understand that particular kind of a circumstance and their case study or case examples?
Madam Chair, Senator Dibble, we certainly could. I'm quite honestly not aware of an issue, but I would be certainly happy to solve it before it becomes a problem. So we'll include a reference to that.
Okay, that'd be great. And then when there is a question, when an assessor, tell me a little bit more about, you know, when an assessor makes a determination and someone thinks that maybe it's not correct or wants to, there's going to be some sort of a body or an advisory consultative entity set up. Can you describe that a little bit, please?
Mr. Hagan.
Madam Chair, Senator Dibble, we will be providing, we'll be responding to questions in two ways. We typically already respond to assessor issues and property owner issues on exemption as a Department of Revenue. Additionally, in addition to that, we're going to set up a review board, for lack of a better name, that's constituted of a representative voting member from the Minnesota Council of Nonprofits, a voting member from the Minnesota Association of Assessing Officers, and a voting member from the Department of Revenue. And we'll look at issues that are close to the edge and of kind of questionable exemption or taxable status, and we'll render a non-binding opinion to the county or to the property owner and give them our best guess of the property's tax status. And hopefully that will – and the reason it's going to be non-binding is we don't want to affect anybody's appeal rights if they disagree with us. But we're hopeful that will be a great benefit to helping to shepherd this language and future language and make certain the direction doesn't change on the current determination of what's taxable and what's exempt.
Senator Dibble.
And then thank you, Mr. Hagan. Then there's a whole other, and I don't know if this one has been brought up to you, but organizations like the Nature Conservancy that, you know, acquire large tracts of land for conservation purposes, oftentimes they consolidate those lands and turn them over to public agencies. You know, they were concerned that maybe this language also was a little too specific to, or had, you know, human service type providers in mind. They currently, as they acquire those properties, they do pay taxes on some types of property, but sometimes some types they don't because they're doing a public purpose or a purpose that would have otherwise been carried out by a public entity. Do you think they will continue to enjoy the same circumstance going forward?
Madam Chair, Senator Dibble, I do. And there have been at least one or two tax court cases involving organizations like the Nature Conservancy that has ruled they are exempt. Another thing I should have mentioned with respect to the review committee is another part of that is if we do identify problems with the language or problems with current interpretations that we feel are contrary to legislative intent, we will be coming back and making a recommendation, probably through the Department of Revenue, for clarification or a change in language that would make certain organizations like that, like the Nature Conservancy, continue to be exempt in the applications that they have been exempt for in past years.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think Mr. Hagan's comments to Senator Dibble addressed many of my concerns. We have a lot of wonderful arts organizations who are challenged in the current economy, and I think having the assurance of that you've made about the Hennepin Theater Trust and the AG's ruling, and maybe perhaps putting that out on the website might give a lot more comfort to people who right now are nervous about how this might be interpreted.
Is the motion all set and organized now? I saw Ms. Zoff come up. Is there still something we need to do?
Madam Chair, there's one. Council Zoff tells me on page 72, line 72.9, on this is the sixth test, that she tells me to make it consistent with the change to the fourth bullet, that in the sixth test on line 72.9, after the word are, we need to put the word not, are not available to private interests. And then that would make it consistent with the change in the fourth bullet.
Page 100 on the House bill. Line 18. Representative Marquardt incorporates that change into his motion. Is there further discussion? Really appreciate all the hard work on this, really, from so many. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. Motion carries. It's been adopted.
Thank you very much, members.
Adopted. Senator Bach, I thought if we could do Representative Loeffler wants to talk a minute about relative homesteads. Then I thought if we could do the apprentice issue, and then we want to take Senator Moore's motion after that on the handout on Coon Rapids and Senator Moore. So if that works for people, we want to talk about relative homesteads for a minute.
Chair and members, this is on page 41 of the side-by-side House Article 6, Section 13. And what it does is it puts prohibits any new properties from being enrolled as a relative homestead, doesn't affect agricultural properties. And while it first emerged as an issue around college campuses throughout the state, in our area it's primarily in Senator Pogemiller's district, Representative Kahn's district, it's getting into mine. But I've talked to Representative Reinhart in Duluth. I've talked to others in Bemidji, and they have some issues with it, the same sort of issues. But what was interesting as this evolved is that the Assessors Association really liked the simplicity of this because they quite honestly can't administer this and really figure out who's living where and are they really somebody's cousin or brother or nephew. And so the value of it is only about $300 a year. And when we had hearings on this, the only testimony against it was from the realtors, because this quite honestly is a tool they're using to help promote certain types of property sales. And so I think in just administration of our tax code, it's a good way to go. It is of so little value. I don't think it influences choices that much. I think it was put in place back when the homestead value was a couple $1,000s a year, and now it's down to about $300 a year. It doesn't make that big a difference, but it is being used as a point to encourage these perhaps a misuse of the tax code, and the assessors really don't like it when we give them responsibilities that they have a hard time enforcing.
Okay, so Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Loeffler. I know the city of Minneapolis has been struggling with this issue, and particularly some neighborhoods in a particular part of Minneapolis, maybe near the university. I know you and I have talked about this, but you know, I haven't spent any time with Senator Pogemiller. Do we know? Is he on this bill?
Representative Loeffler.
Madam Chair, in the past, actually, Senator Pogemiller was my Senate author, but now that he's moved to leadership responsibilities, he's not working on these sorts of...
I just haven't done my check-in with him, so I just wanted to ask. Okay, thanks.
How do the senators feel about this provision?
Well, Madam Chair, I don't... I think the Senate would prefer we just stayed with current law, and we need to learn a little more about this. I think Senator Dibble makes a good point. If it's a Minneapolis issue, I have not had a discussion with Senator Higgins or Senator Berglund or Senator Pogemiller about this. I'm a little reluctant, not knowing how my Minneapolis senators feel about this. I'm more comfortable probably with the current law. And then if you want to come back and revisit this later in the conference committee once I learn more from them, but if you'd like to vote on it today, that's fine with me too. But I think for today, until I have an opportunity to speak with the other Minneapolis senators, I'm a little uncomfortable changing the current law. But if you'd like to move it, that's fine.
Madam Chair,
Representative Loeffler.
I think that's fine. And I'd say you also might want to talk to some of the other campus senators as well, because it really isn't just localized to Minneapolis at all. I've heard from people with Minsky campuses that this is a growing issue. And you may want to talk with the Assessors Association as well.
Well, Madam Chair, I'll have a conversation with Senator Solon, because Senator Solon and I represent Duluth. And this is an issue in Duluth. And in fact, she represents UMD. And just a couple blocks up the road, there's a line on Brainerd Avenue. And I represent St. Scholastica. So it certainly is an issue in Duluth also. So I'd also want to involve Senator Solon in that discussion, I think. I think it's something we're a little uncomfortable with doing today. But not that I think we need to a little more input from other members.
Okay, so Representative Loeffler, you're not going to make the motion then? Okay, so we're going to move on. Thank you, Representative Loeffler. She's so accommodating, so we're going to get that MOE study done, right, everybody? I forgot something before we jump to apprentice. Can we finish the public finance? I keep saying that, and that's this handout, you know, because we mostly did everything we could in the Senate, and I've been reminded now what's still missing. So these are mostly technical, and we can just look at them here. The reason we have a couple ones that members care about, a St. Paul and a White Community Hospital, which must have been Representative Rukavina, I would imagine. I'm having a hard time remembering that, honestly. And I'm going to ask Mr. Michael, I think might be the better way to think.
You have this list. Do you want to just come to the table?
I think it would be great if we could know that all the Senate Public Finance and all the House Public Finance bill items have been addressed one way or another. So if we could clear those out, then we don't have to keep – we've been doing them randomly on and off for days. It'd be nice to just get through them because most of it's technical now. So, Mr. Michael.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, actually I would not characterize them as technical, but they're not things that members are heavily invested in, I think would be the more accurate way to characterize that. So I don't know if you – the handwritten list that I gave you might be one way that we can go through this. The first set of issues relates to the expansion of capital notes for cities and counties. The original public finance bill, which the House kept, had this expanded authorization to issue capital notes for software application development, training, and fiber optic connections. You could either do the House thing in total, or you could do the applications development and training, or you could do the fiber optic, or you could skip it all together, which is what the Senate did.
Madam Chair, we had a kind of a lengthy discussion about this, and the Senate made a decision to take this out of the public finance bill. It's a pretty broad expansion.
Senate position,
yeah, the Senate doesn't have a position, so if you'd like to move your position, Madam Chair, I think the Senate would probably vote no. Or I could move the Senate. Well, we don't have a position to move, so.
Well, we do want to deal with these. I'm not, you know, I'm personally not a big fan of them either, but there are folks on the committee wanting them. So I suppose we should take a motion for the House's position here.
I don't have it in front of me. Mr. Michael?
There are four different sections because they relate to counties. Hennepin County has its own provision, and then there's a separate provision for home rule charter and statutory cities. So basically you would just take the Senate provision on all of those sections, which I can identify for you if you would like.
Mr. Michael, I think if you could just put the motion before us, for me.
All right. Madam Chair, it would be to take the House position on – this is in our public finance bill, which is House File 1298. And I think Ms. Bergman distributed copies of that to all of you. But it's Sections 11, Section 12, Section 16, Section 17, and Section 18. So I guess actually there are five because that language is also being added to the county CIP bond authority, which is a separate.
Okay, so does everyone, that's my motion.
11, 12. Does
Mr. Michael?
Yes, so it's 11, 12, 16, 17, and 18.
Those were in the original bill, and the Senate took them out, and so we had quite a discussion about it. So the Senate's pretty would rather not do these, but we can certainly have a vote on it.
Okay, so I'm going to make that motion, and I'll just say, you know, the House, it's coming back to me a little bit now. There are some really big projects that are not just like buying a little piece of software. And so there's some really legitimate things, particularly for some of the larger counties where they're really buying big items. And so the House would like to take the motion. We do, you know, we support the motion. Further discussion? And call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed say nay.
No.
The motion does not carry. Okay, so Mr. Michael, What can we go to next?
The next set of provisions relate to special service districts authority. The original bill had an expansion to residential property, which the House deleted. Then there were a series of changes that I guess I would characterize as making changes in the process that are sort of technical in nature and were recommended, I believe, by the attorneys that worked for the city of Minneapolis in doing the latest iteration of their special service district changes. And those are sections 19, 20, 21, 22 of the House bill.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I have a memo in my pile here somewhere.
Okay.
I was going to refer to, but
on the special service.
Yeah, the upshot is that this is a good thing to do. It helps clean up the process and make sure that we're not noticing a bunch of people who we shouldn't be noticing, because then they get anxious because they're not subject to the special service assessment. It really actually, I don't think, is going to affect Minneapolis going forward, but they learned about the mess of these provisions.
Yes.
And so they're being good citizens for anyone. The future is going to do a big, large step.
It's sort of a technical cleanup.
What happened was a bunch of residents who aren't subject to the special assessment in downtown were noticed, and they got all up in arms, and it was just a mess. So,
you have an amendment to that?
No, I'm just supporting the motion.
Okay. I think this one was pretty technical. Discussion? Did you say the whole motion there, Mr. Michael, that I made, that you said? Mr. Michael?
Madam Chair, it would be to move to adopt sections 19 through 22 of the House Public Finance Bill, House File 1298, the second engrossment.
Okay. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. That's been adopted. We have OPEB, but let's hang on to that one. That's a little more controversial. I just want to get through the rest. St. Paul CIP bonding extension, and we are kind of wondering why St. Paul didn't bring that through on the Senate side. Mr. Michael, you want to explain that provision? It was Representative Murphy carried the bill, and we thought it was very non-controversial. So, Mr. Michael.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, this is section 39 on that separate list, and essentially St. Paul has this capital improvement bonding authorization under a special law that authorizes them to issue $20 million that expires in 2013.
Hey,
this would make
Michael,
that authorization.
Mr. Michael, I'm going to just hang on one second. They're trying to understand. This is not the pond. This is something different. Okay, everybody? This is not the pond.
It's not.
In fact, people are getting confused here now. So let's just let him. Senator Moi? Okay.
I'm okay.
Do you want to talk? Well, I just, before, I think we had some confusion here. This isn't the pond. Representative Murphy carried it. I don't know if there was a Senate author from St. Paul, but maybe
there
yours.
There was.
Okay,
I was
Senator
a Senate
Moore.
Author.
Okay.
And I think there is some confusion. I have a note in here that it's in our bill, but maybe
Madam Chair, what we have is we gave them, currently they have the authority to issue 20-year bonds, and we gave them the authority to issue 30-year bonds, which I believe is what the House also did. But we did not make this permanent. The city of St. Paul, I think, is the only city that has this authority.
Okay.
So we thought rather than make it permanent,
the difference is we have to come back.
Doing that from time to time was a good thing.
Okay, so it seems pretty reasonable. I'm just going to look for Ms. Haney and Mr. Michael. I don't know if that's the one they're consulting on. Just making sure it works.
How about section 43 in here?
It was
39?
Oh, 39.
43, I think, was the pond. No, that's different.
Okay, no,
section
sorry,
39 we're on this sheet, right? Senator Moi, is that right? Section
yes.
39.
Yes.
I just want to make sure, Mr. Michael, did you catch that, the difference between the House and Senate? The Senate believes is just that the 30 was
the extension of the 30, yep, and not the in perpetuity.
Madam Chair, the House
has both provisions. Earlier you adopted the ones that were the same. What remains is this House provision that would make the authority permanent. The sunsets in 2013, obviously, so it's off in the future, and I, you know, and but yes, there were two provisions. There were two provisions. The House did both. The Senate did one. You've already adopted the ones that were the same, and so now we're just raising the other provision so that you can resolve whether you're going to do it or not.
Okay. So it doesn't matter.
Do you want to?
I'll move the Senate position, Madam Chair.
Discussion. Does everyone understand that one? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. Motion carries.
The next provision, which is not on the list, Madam Chair, is the transit bonding for the Met Council, which is Section 31 of the House bill.
Madam Chair.
Senator Dibble.
I think we should adopt that. It's vital that we adopt that. That gives them the authority to do their capital program, $34 million bucks a year. But I do have an amendment that lets them, if they so choose, can flex those capital dollars for operating purposes. As we've left things, it's not controversial. It gives them flexibility to do that. Similar to what we're doing with all their other levies right now, giving them flexibility for transit operating purposes. It's not a new levy. It's not a new operating levy.
No.
Just allows them to doesn't add any dollars to their levy. Doesn't increase their authority, but lets them, and it's entirely flexible.
Madam Chair, I think the reason the Senate supports Senator Dibble's position is there's some federal money coming in for transit that's going to allow them some additional capital purchases, so which may free up a little money under their levy. They wouldn't normally have, probably because of the federal money, have to levy quite as much for capital. So this would allow them to use a little bit of that levy in the short term here. For operating, because they shouldn't quite need the capital levy because of the federal stimulus money coming in.
Okay, so if we can just look at it, I mean, I'm a huge supporter of the bus bonds, always have been. These are paid for by Metro County, seven county metro residents, and
not entirely.
Well,
subset.
But the bus bonding, you know, for this stuff, the operating thing is just what gave me alarm. But it sounds like it's been explained. I just wanted Mr. Michael to look at it so it wasn't an ongoing forever. Using it for ongoing. But
I think the nature of how we do this is only on a biennial basis anyways.
But just if Mr. Michael thinks it works.
Oh, yeah, we have an effective date only for 2010 and 2011.
So then we just do it. Mr. Michael.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, it is the way Senator Dibble described it, which essentially says if they don't levy to pay the amount that they didn't access to pay for their debt, they can use for operations for these couple of years that is available. So essentially it gives them the flexibility to, if they don't issue the bonds or notes or whatever they, you know, whatever kind of instruments they use, they could essentially do an equivalent levy for operations.
Okay. So your motion, Senator Dibble, is, I don't know which article then on the House.
31A.
It's, Madam Chair, this is in the House Public Finance Bill, Section 31, and then I think the motion would be to also add this JMZ 0016.
Okay,
amendment, so you would be adopting both sections.
So Senator Dibble is moving the House public finance provision of House File, I believe it's 1298, Section 31, and simultaneously the JMZ 0016 amendment. Is that the right motion that we need?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. Motion carries. Okay. And then back to finishing public finance, we have White Community Hospital. What I see. I've only skipped over OPEB so far, so I was just going to hang on to that one. I have White Community Hospital bond allocation carry forward and HRA.
Okay, okay. Yes.
And you got
right.
The bus in, so that's good. And St. Paul's done, so that's good. Which one to take next?
Oh,
Mr. Michael, I think the easy ones left here are White County bond allocations. HRE, I think, is a little more discussion.
What does this do?
And then.
Oh, I see. I just
want to make sure he's.
I'm looking for White, Madam Chair.
I have a handwritten. Okay, so Mr. Michael, can we keep going on this list? The only thing I've held off so far is OPEB.
I think we do that last. Yep.
But so we did St. Paul, and we just did the bus bonds, and so now I have next White Community Hospital.
Right.
So can you explain that one? Was that Representative Rukavina? Mr. Michael.
Yes, Madam Chair, that is Representative Rukavina's provision, and this allows the White Community Hospital to change its name.
That's the easiest
way to describe it.
Well, Madam Chair, we'd like to know what the new name is going to be.
Can we put
the
into law?
Hospital, we're pushing back.
Mr. Michael?
Madam Chair, I do not know what the name plan is.
I don't know.
He may have to consult with Representative Kahn before he.
This might be a roll call.
Madam Chair.
I think Senator Bach wants to make this motion.
Madam Chair, we'd like to know who Mr. White was and how many people in their family might be offended.
Well, I mean, it was a color white.
There's a town of White. And I'll bet
there you
town,
go.
I'll bet town of White was named after some family maybe 100 years ago. There probably was a very good reason if Mr. White got his name on the town.
Could be Mrs. White, too.
Yeah.
Could be. Could have been because they saw a white wolf there. I don't know. But
well, if they're selling
the
hospital.
I'm going to take a leap of faith here that Representative Rukavina is not up to something. Because I used to represent this area until the 2002 redistricting.
Oh,
okay. Matter of fact, the city of Hoyt Lakes was. Which is why they. A wonderful city to represent. I felt really bad when I didn't represent them any longer. In fact, the mayor emailed me just the other day from Hoyt Lakes, where I used to represent. I have just an immense respect for people in the community and their locally elected officials. And I think if there was a problem here, they probably would have contacted me.
Okay, so Senator Bach, are you moving the House File 1298 provisions, Section 41 and 42?
Yes. There's also that little hand note I gave to you does not reflect that we need to also include part of the repealer in Section 48, which essentially names this the White Town of White Hospital. So there's a part of Section 48 as well.
Okay, so Senator Bach amends his motion to add the Section 48. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. Motion carries. Bond allocation carry forward in the House finance bill of Section 47, Mr. Michael? What's that one? I can't remember that one.
Madam Chair, this was a late provision that was brought to us by the Housing Finance Agency on behalf of the committee that does bond allocations. And because the bond market has basically froze up in late 2008, many of these private activity bonds have not been issued. And so they're requesting to allow the allocations for entitlement issuers from 2008 to be carried forward additional, I think, 2 years.
So I think this one's pretty non-controversial. I think that it's the HRA that we might have to have a little discussion. This isn't that one. Senator Bach, did you have a concern there? Came from bond counsel. Okay, Senator Bach moves the public finance bill, House File 1298, Section 47, the House provision. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. Motion carried. And I have remaining now on public finance, HRA, Senate Section 14 and 15. And then after that, there's OPEB. We should, maybe Mr. Michael can just sum up. My recollection is the House had problems with this, but I'm, of course, concerns about how big and where it would go. Mr. Michael?
Madam Chair, that's correct. During the committee hearing, there were concerns expressed about exactly how, whether or not this would expand the exemption and to what properties it would apply. And there were questions from the assessors, or there were questions as to exactly how this would affect projects. And there was apparently one project that sort of a dispute over the exemption in Hennepin County that stimulated this provision. Upon more looking at it, we're sort of less clear about exactly what its effect is. But I think we've sort of concluded it definitely expands the exemption somewhat.
Okay, so it's on page 86 of the side-by-side. Sections 14 and 15.
Senator Bach? Is the House uncomfortable doing this?
We just thought it expanded. It exempted too much property from tax, and then we had testimony. It wasn't very clear. People started raising a number of objections.
I'm sure you're interested in hearing from Ms. Haney on this or not.
Well, I've been nothing personal. I've been trying to get people out of here as early as possible. So, is it a big deal to the Senate?
Well, I think
to pursue it, we'd have to, for the House to go along, we'd have to tighten it a lot. So,
well, why don't,
that's something we could work off offline and come back to
today and maybe find out on Monday.
I think maybe it was.
Maybe you could prepare for Monday to say something about it.
Senator Dimmel.
Thanks, Madam Chair. If tightening is possible, which would be good, I think I raised questions the other day about this because I just totally didn't understand and got kind of panicky that we were going to make a publicly financed affordable housing more expensive. Turns out the opposite is true, and in fact continue to maintain the affordability, or at least the taxation on affordable units as is, that doesn't expire with the financing but continues as long as those units remain affordable, but carves those out from market rate units in some of those properties, and that's the effect that was explained to me, which is a good thing for affordable housing and good that we're putting market rate housing back on, you know, the full property tax in those developments that have a mix. So I think it's good, and so if tightening needs to be done, let's do that, but I think this would be good to adopt these provisions.
Okay, so if it's all right, can we just direct Ms. Off and Mr. Michael and Ms. Haney to see if they can find a way to tighten this up and just bring it back on Monday that we could just see? Okay.
Should they talk to the representatives who have particular concerns?
Well, I'm trying to remember who they are, honestly, but
I think
Ms. Baker.
Madam Chair, I think part of the issue, and I've talked to several different people on this, is just that one doesn't understand it and know exactly what it's trying to do and what changes it's trying to make. And that's part of the problem, is understanding that.
Okay.
So one should be able to read the language and be able to understand what it is that is supposed to be happening and what these changes are supposed to be reflecting. And there's just nobody that really understands or at least can clarify what it really is attempting to do. And I've talked to several different, so...
So we have a second charge, tightening and clarifying.
Tightening and clarifying on Monday. Is that okay? We'll just move on. Okay, so we've got the OPEB, and I think we're thinking of a possible compromise here that Mr. Michael can explain, because I think that I want to repeal them because I think we're going to get into big trouble here, and I think Senator Bach, you didn't feel like you wanted to do that. We've got the K-12 people working on the school starts, and I just want to have Mr. Michael just kind of talk about this, and then if we just can't go anywhere, we'll just hold till Monday. But Senator Bach, Ms. Sales, our crack staff here, found out from the Minnesota Historical Society that White Township in St. Louis County was named in honor of a mining captain on the Mesaba Range in the employ of the Kimberly Mining Company. There you go.
I'm Chair.
I'm not surprised, and I wonder if Representative Rukavina happened to check with the family.
Well, we may have to, in the minerals article, make adjustments. So we'll find out.
Madam Chair.
Senator Dibble.
If you're ever curious about why something is named after something or how something got a name in Minnesota, there, the Historical Society has a database, and you can plug it in. Oh, that's where Ms.
Sales
went.
That's where Ms. Sales went.
It's really
went.
Slick. There's a book you can buy, too, which I bought for my dad that he loves.
Ah, very interesting. Okay, well, Ms. Sales has got us all thinking, and so, and Mr. Kelleher is here. You know, the Minnesota Historical Society provides all this great information that'll help you. There it is. See, and look, do you see a historic tax credit, it says behind him.
Madam Chair, did Representative Rukavina disclose this information when he asked this provision be included?
I don't think he did. I think it was about that the hospital was going to get sold to somebody. There was going to be a successor in ownership. That's all I recall.
We could have just taken the word community out and left white in.
Yeah. Well, minerals article. Haven't done it yet. There's lots of room.
Madam Chair, Representative Rukavina, and I did talk yesterday about getting together next week on the minerals article, so we'll do that.
Good. We need you to do that, or we won't be able to do anything there. So, okay, so OPEB. Mr. Michael, possible compromise?
The suggestion for a possible compromise is this was an amendment in the House committee that was offered by Representative Dietrich. So what it would do would be to delete the changes in the House bill on authorization and on net debt, or this is a slight variation, I think, on what she had, but it would delete those two provisions, which essentially prohibit the use of issuing bonds for to fund OPEB, so that those would continue. The net debt exemption would continue. They could issue bonds to pay for OPEB, but the exemption from referendum would be limited to OPEB bonds that are used to pay the state-mandated part of OPEB, which is, just to refresh everybody's memory, state law requires local units of government to allow retirees to participate in their employee benefit plans without separate rating of their costs. So they get the price that the local unit of government pays for active employees. And because those folks are older, they tend to have higher costs, and that imposes costs on the local government. So what this would do is it would allow them to continue issuing OPEB bonds as under current law and to issue them without referendum if the benefits that they're funding with the bonds are those benefits that are mandated by state law.
Madam Chair.
Senator Rock. Oh, Senator Johnson, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My county uses these, and the way it is presented might severely hamper or restrict their ability to sell them. Before we do anything, I'd like to hear from my county on it.
Okay. So folks should have those meetings with people, because we've got to do this by Monday. So.
And Madam Chair, I'd like to also hear from Mr. Carlson if he could speak to it.
Well, I haven't been doing any public testimony today. And I guess, you know, we can. I mean, just to be clear on the rules don't call for that. I mean, the reason why is, in the end, it's still we have to decide. So I think what I'm trying to do is hold on ones where people need more information and have them do that, because what happens is that becomes an hour discussion. And I'll tell you, we have had numerous hearings on this. We've had joint hearings with the K-12 committee on this. There are provisions being carried by the K-12 committee. We have we got people all over the map on this. It's controversial. And what I don't want to do, and I don't know what the Senate did, but we've had hours and hours and hours of hearings on this. So, yes. We had.
We passed it into law last year.
Yeah, it's not working. It's going to create a huge problem out in the out years. As we let people go, we had a school district come and tell us that they found this was a great way to find a way to go into debt so they could pay for all day K. And I think we all had a little heart attack at that moment. We have people who now think we might take this away and are rushing to the gate to get in as deep a debt as they possibly can before we turn it off. And so there's a lot of concern out there, and we've had lots of testimony. So if we're going to go down that road, let's just hold till later, because I just that's going to be a good hour, and we're trying to get a lot of things adopted now.
Well, Madam Chair, let me just suggest then that maybe the cities, and because the Senate's fine with current law, but I mean the House obviously feels strongly about this, so let me suggest that the cities and counties maybe meet with council, and if there's we can split the baby here, and everybody can get something that's probably okay. We'll try to accommodate you, but if we can't, I think the Senate's reluctant to repeal it.
So we'll just pause a moment because it's official. Senator Bach, you just got a letter.
Oh. It doesn't say anything about a bucket of leeches, but...
Supposedly what he said, but...
It does say I have vetoed and am returning House File 885, Chapter 77.
I think that's the cocoa bean shell mulch.
For the reasons articulated in my May 8th letter. Did he say something about leeches in his May 8th letter? I don't think so. See, that's what happens when you listen to radio personalities.
Not accurate.
I see I'm copied in on this letter, so I suspect it's probably up in my office. So. Mm.
Okay, well...
Good thing I didn't pick on Senator Tomassoni for having his economic development bill vetoed, because I'm in the same bucket with him right now, I guess.
With those leeches.
And the train. Right.
Madam Chair, I think you were the author of this bill. This is a House file, so he didn't really veto my bill.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, let's just hold on all that. I mean, I guess what I'd say is if you just have the beneficiaries of these provisions meet, you're not going to hear the other side. So having the cities, counties, and school districts tell you why they need to stick with the Senate position is not going to give you the other side. So for folks who want to understand the other side, you got to talk to the people who are not the beneficiaries. Those are the taxpayers. They're going to pay for it. With increased debt and larger property tax increases for a long time. So let's hold.
I thought the whole argument with the OPEB bonds was...
I fell for it, too. I was the author. You and I authored it.
Spread the burden over time and avoided property tax increases in the short run and kind of spread those costs out over time. And I'm still not convinced that's not the case, but I guess if that's not the case and people are abusing the provision, it's probably a discussion worth happening. But the issue, I don't remember any discussion on the issue in the Senate other than Senator Coring offered an amendment on the floor of the Senate, and I don't think he didn't talk to anybody about it, didn't talk to me about it before. But, I mean, that was the only discussion the Senate had. So.
Well, and Senator Dibble, and I just do want to say, though, because we don't want to take all the time now, is we did have a lot of hearings on this, and people pretty overwhelmingly thought this was needed to be stopped. And this was the Education Committee and the Tax Committee and the Property Tax Committee. Senator Dibble.
Well, thanks, Madam Chair, and I should have been in all of your hearings because I'm an inch deep and a mile wide, and the K-12 or all day K thing is news to me. I hadn't heard that, but as I have understood it, arguably from the side that benefits, but particularly with these post retirement employee benefits piece, in some instances it lets us get ahead of the game, which is counterintuitive, but.
We need an education seminar on this.
If you get your resources into the market performs, you get ahead of some of these liabilities. That's what I've been led to understand.
Well, that's what I was led to understand, and so was Senator Bach, because we were the chief authors when we put it into law. And there's huge problems into the future, I think. So let's just do that, talk further about that on Monday, and you'll have more time to talk with your county and hear from. But I, again, want to tell people, you know, if you're going to ask the beneficiaries do they want to lose their benefit, they're not going to say yes. So just anyway. Okay, so HRA property tax exemption, Mr. Michael, I think that's the last one we have on this.
We already discussed that.
We did. Oh, we just did that.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
we're going to.
Okay.
Tighten and clarify.
Yes, got that. Okay, Senator Bach, apprentice, and I don't know where that is on the side-by-side. Maybe you can help us.
I had it before we got to the public finance article. I was on it.
Page 35.
lot of notes on that one.
Madam Chair, I'd like to move Senate Article 4, Section 8, and I'd be happy to speak to it if we need to.
Senator Bach, and I makes that motion. Senator Bach, I think were we interested in at all trying to, you're probably not, but we were talking a little bit, Representative Marquardt and I, in a little bit of tightening on this provision. Maybe Representative Marquardt can just explain what he was thinking and see where this goes. Okay, Representative Marquardt.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. The language as to what groups that was fine, but was the number of acres, and I'm wondering, you know, if we could go to 2 or 3 acres rather than 5.
Let me...
Senator Bach.
Let me give you the reason that this is 5. The sheet metal workers bought a old school, and the building had never been on the tax rolls. They remodeled it into a training facility. It's 100% training. That's what it is, so it's still a school. It's a different kind of school, but it's still a school. And the property was 4.8 acres. So that's where our 5-acre piece comes from, and we'd like to be able to accommodate that. I believe they're the people that initially brought this whole proposal in front of the legislature. So, I mean, that's our rationale, and we'd like you to consider that.
Yeah. Well, Senator Scoy, please.
Madam Chair and Representative Marco, well, it is limited by the 5 acres, but also by the portion of the park parking area that's in proportional to the square footage of the facility.
Yeah.
So there are two limiting factors there.
It would take a pretty big parking lot to ever get you to 5 acres.
Yeah. Well, Madam Chair, Senator Bach, I think the 5 acres is, that's an addition to the parking lot, I believe, isn't it? I think it's 5 acres, and then it's proportional to the parking lot. But that's, I think it's different. It's,
Mayor Scoy, I don't know if you're... You know, Senator Bach, I got a bloody nose just while we were sitting here. And, the air must be dry in the Senate. A lot of hot air. Just while we were sitting here for a little while there. I don't know if anyone picked that up. The Kleenex appeared. I had a bloody nose and went away.
Is
that a bad omen? It was right before the leeches conversation.
I'm hoping it wasn't the governor's letter.
Okay, so Senator Scoy, thoughts?
Madam Chair, Representative Marquardt is right. They are two separate provisions.
I think, Madam Chair, I think Representative Marquardt and I are in agreement that the Senate provision will probably work.
Okay. Discussion to Senator Bach's motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. Motion carries.
Thank you, Representative Marquardt. I appreciate that. I know that they do good work there. And
okay, so we have Senator Juan. I don't know if Ms. Dalton has briefed you, or if you're ready to go here, Senator Juan. It's been handed out.
It's been handed out, and Madam Chair, members, I want to thank you for being willing to do it. It wasn't my intention to bring here, but I am grateful to your all of you being understanding, and thank you for doing this.
Okay.
There's no number to it. But.
Okay, so there's no number, and maybe Ms. Dalton can help us because we were thinking we could get Representative Dietrichs and this both done, and that's that the Coon Rapids Center Foley, and it comes out of. Ms. Dalton, can you just explain if we could just do the two? I think this, and we'll probably hear about this later from Ag, but that's okay, right? Yeah, it's designed as a tax provision.
Yeah,
that's
it's a tax provision.
And that's what we were trying to do here, is find a way to make it a tax provision. Ms. Dalton. And the Coon Rapids Part 2, so we just know
Madam
them.
Chair, members of the committee, both of these provisions would essentially work the same way. The new provision being proposed would grant essentially the city of St. Paul a grant, an additional payment of $25,000, provided that they are making a grant to the St. Paul Growers Association to accomplish the purposes that have been in the original Ag Bill. Both that and the Coon Rapids would not be subject to unallotment, and they would not be subject to any of the aid cuts. So the language as it exists for both of these right now would work whether there are aid cuts or there are not aid cuts in pay 2010.
And can you remind the Senate, and I don't know if you heard Senator Foley's bill, the Coon Rapids payment was a commitment from the state. There was one left, and then somehow it got wrapped into the formula accidentally. Okay, so you know all that. Okay, so
Madam Chair.
Can you give us the, someone give us the motion for the two together?
I was going to say, and Madam Chair, and I'm sorry, there are no page numbers or a title on this thing, but where it says below, it's supposed to be 300,000 and I'm missing a zero.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Yep. I missed that.
I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
When it's talking about a city of the first, the city is a first-class city in the seven-county metropolitan area with a population below, it's supposed to be 300,000, and it says 300, comma, and only two zeros.
Oh, okay, 300,000, so that's okay.
So, Madam Chair, Ms. Dalton, is this money inside the formula?
Madam Chair, Senator Bach, at this point, yes, it's money inside that's the fine. Formula.
So if later we change, we can move on.
Okay.
So Sarah Moi moves this handwritten, non-numbered amendment that has been just explained by Ms. Dalton for that, for the situation.
Page number one.
Oh, page one on the bottom, along with the provision on, Ms. Dalton, do you know the Coon Rapids provision, or how do we make this motion?
I don't.
Page 51, Senator. So,
but only the part that relates to Coon Rapids.
So if this is okay, so then Senator Moi moves.
I would so move, Madam Chair.
Okay. So Section 8, but only the part that goes for Coon Rapids.
Section 4.
Which is Article 7,
Section 4.
Well, Section 8
and
Section 4.
Madam Chair, you want to move House Article 7. Section 4, as it relates to Coon Rapids. At this point, I would not do Section 8 because that's tied in with all the aid cuts, and I think you want to hold off on that until.
Senator Moi, is that your motion?
It is, Madam Chair.
Okay, great. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. Motion carries. Okay, so we are at 110. Let's see. We did the rest of the public finance bill, except we held on OPEB, right?
Madam Chair.
Senator, or Representative.
We, Ms. Dalton has language on that Pine County. I don't know if we want to do
that. Sure.
Do we want to do that now?
Oh. No, she's let's got just do it.
Okay.
Ms. Dalton.
Do you remember on this one?
Yeah, and we adopted this, but now we have actual language. Yeah. And now this one has got more than a number. It's actually got everything it needs, right? Yeah.
So I will move the APD FLA 1 amendment dealing with Pine County.
Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion carries. So Minerals Monday, I've got, we're still going to wait to hear yet today if we can on this maintenance of minerals.
Where's the minerals? I don't know if we're going to get it done in time.
On minerals? No.
We can wait for the bigger bill, I think.
I'm going to cross that out. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's
fine. Here's what I've got still that we wanted to try to get to is this 50% cross-compliance stuff, marina stuff.
Let's do the marina.
We want to. Can we talk a little bit about this whole? Well, okay. Here, I'll just mention. We want to get back to the Loeffler maintenance of effort study. I hope people are working on that.
No, it's not.
I think we're ready on that.
Hang on a minute. And then the OPEB. Oh, we're holding on that till Monday. We came back to Senator Moi's motion. Got that done. We talked about housing replacement districts or TIF pooling combo. We were going to come back to that. I have elderly restriction. Was there something else? I'm just trying to get the complexion of that we were going to try to do today.
Madam Chair, on the marina thing, I'd just like to be able to make a motion that gives. I think we need to tighten up the public access issue some.
Okay.
So I'd like to be able
What section are we on then? Or page? Because we really, and we wanted to get.
I want to tighten up the public access issue.
Cross compliance and the.
And so if we could move it, then I could get. We could have staff bring back some language that
okay,
tightens
so
up the public access. But I'm looking for it.
I think we need the page.
Page 41. Senate Article 4, Section 19. Madam Chair, if I could move Senate Article 4, Section 19 on the marina portion, and with the understanding that staff tighten up for us the public access portion. I mean, what the Senate had suggested is that the marina would have to offer public access to the water. And we just want to make sure that it's clear that that this seasonal rec classification for the land, the lakeshore, up to 6 acres, that it's clear that there has to be public access, so that no private club with memberships can access this, because that is not at all our intent. We want this for public marinas that are open to the public. So if we can, if I can just kind of make it with that understanding, and staff can bring back some language, at 6 acres, that's what I'd like to do. Well, that's what I'd like to move.
Okay. Perhaps that, Margaret?
Yeah, thank you very much, Madam Chair. It was 5 acres, and the 6 acres doesn't worry me going up there. What does worry me is the frontage. I mean, you could have 6 acres, but it could be very long, and it could be 3,000 feet. And I would like if we could have some sort of lakeshore limitation, if that would be all right. I don't know what, 300, 400 feet, something like that.
Representative Markwart, I'm fine with it, with a, some kind of limitation on the lake frontage, and maybe Senator Swain, I can talk about. But okay. I don't want to string it out for 1,000 feet on the shore here. That's not our intent.
Okay, very good.
Just the adequate frontage they need, you know, to get docks in for the public to dock at, and the boat launch, and adequate. A lot of times they have in water docking, so there's some buildings associated with that. So I don't know if 400 feet works. I guess we'll have a discussion about that. But we agree to a limitation on that.
Well, Madam Chair, you know, I bet you if we put a number in, if it doesn't work, we'll hear about it.
Right. Well, let's put a number in.
Let's put 400 or 500 in and see what they say.
Representative, how about we put 500 feet in? If it doesn't work, somebody's going to call me, I bet. And then Monday we can take a look at it. Does that work?
Then hopefully we're done with it.
500 feet, and then I'm sure somebody will tell me over the weekend if that doesn't work, but I agree with that. We don't want to, and the rest of it would be taxed as CI.
Okay, so does everyone understand that motion? And this will be similar to the Faust motion, that we're going to adopt this in concept, and then we'll see it on Monday. I mean, we'll adopt it. We'll see it on Monday if there's a problem. Now, the Faust one got fixed while we were waiting. So you never know. It might come back here real quick, but let's just, if everyone understands that, discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed say nay. Motion carries. And we were hoping now to talk about we're very serious about the cross compliance issue, and we feel that the riparian, we wanted the riparian, and so we changed it to a study. But I think, you know, this is the part that people don't, and I think Senator Skoy agrees with this, I think people, you know, don't want to believe deep down in their soul that somehow this program is not providing benefits that are paid by other people. And the truth is, it is. And if we're going to have this program, then we better sure make sure that people who are doing what they say they're doing to be in this program, because it's wasting other taxpayers' money if we don't have compliance. So I don't know where it is on the side-by-side, but Senator Skoy, you know what I'm talking about here. Can you just react to this cross-compliance piece?
Well, Madam Chair, I think there's about 4 areas it is in here, because we're tying it to a number of different programs that the state have. I think it's tied to Green Acres and the Ag Preserve, and I don't remember all else it is. But just my general reaction, I had a number of discussions with organizations, the department, about how this would work. Are we restricting this to the parcel that the violation occurred on? Because, you know, currently the fines for some of these violations are a few hundred.
People cannot hear you, Senator Skoy.
I'm sorry. Currently, you know, the fines for some of these violations are a few hundred dollars, and this provision could be thousands and thousands of dollars. So we need to kind of get our perspective around what we're actually doing there. Are these violations, if they occur on one parcel, how broad is the penalty? Is it going to be just that parcel, or is it going to be all the land that the applicant owns that's now removed? There and so what I did, Madam Chair, when they brought this to me, I told them, I said, this is a House provision. You work with the House on this and get some language that will work for you. And I don't know if anybody has or not, but there was a number of people that came, and I said, look, you know, go work with the House, find language that works, and I'm the Senate author of this bill. And I planned on working on it next year. So I haven't had any time to work on it. It was a late introduction. So I don't have the language figured out that works. I'm would be agreeable to doing something, but somebody has to answer all these questions, and I just haven't had the time, and evidently they haven't contacted, you know, your members either.
Representative Marquardt.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. There are three different spots there, and you know, we could move the years down on the one from 5 to 3, but yeah, no one's talked to me. I mean, I don't know if there's a chance that Senator Scoy and I could get together before Monday.
Representative Marquardt, I'm sorry, I want to interrupt here. Okay, so, and I know it's a sign of productivity when the room gets noisy, but the staff cannot hear us. So we're going to ask people if they have to converse to step outside, because we're now, you know, we're taking a lot of motions and it's complicated, and our staffs here are having a hard time hearing it. So, and we're going to use our mics better. Representative Marquardt.
So thank you, Madam Chair. I'm wondering if Senator Scoy and I maybe could try to work something out on these areas. I mean, this is something the House feels strongly about. We'd like to move this year on some sort of cross-compliance, and maybe there's something we could work out by Monday evening.
Madam Chair and Representative Marquardt, I'm, you know, as I said, I'm willing to adopt something here. It's just that I'd intended on spending a little more time than just, you know, over the Mother's Day weekend and Monday morning on it. But if the groups that are interested in this, and I can see them, they're out here, if they want to go to work and come up with some language that works and it's narrowed down to the parcel where the violation occurs. Okay. So I didn't read the bill.
What page?
I'm doing it next year.
Page 90. And this has been really a headache for our side, really.
Well, let's go to work and see if we can get something in by Monday.
Ms. Baker, what page of the House bill is it in? Just so we can glance at it. Page 99 of the House bill. We can't hear you, Ms. Baker.
There's been a lot of changes made on page 99, and a lot of Senator Scoy is referencing have already been addressed in this language. So it's very different from the original bill that was
You and I'll work on it. Yeah, no, we'll work on it.
Okay, so we're going to hold on that one.
Madam Chair, I think with the intent that we'll try to get something adopted on Monday.
Yep.
So if people can take this kind of seriously, that we try to get something done.
Absolutely.
We'd like to be able to adopt something on this on Monday if we're going to do this. So.
Sounds good. Okay.
Madam Chair?
Senator Dibble, please, yes.
I really do hope we can visit this 50% thing that really screws up this program. It really does. I mean, it makes it almost worthless, unworkable.
Senator Dibble, you need to be closer to your mic.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you. I was just criticizing Senator Scoy for this very thing. I really do hope we can get back to this 50% thing. That really screws up this whole effort. It really screws it up. It makes it completely unusable and unworkable. Maybe that's the goal, you know, and if so, let's just get rid of all, you know, let's just get rid of the rest. It fundamentally screws up how Green Acres and in considering the parts that aren't in agricultural production work. Just screws it up completely.
Well,
it kind of gets us back to square one, and if we're going to stick with that provision, let's just get rid of all of the parts that we tried to fix this year.
I mean, this was the result of the conference committee report just recently, though, which we finished that.
Right, which
closed
came
that
in.
Conference committee, and it was actually a tax bill the governor signed, Commissioner. And so, see, that's what's hard for us. Senator Devil, I'll just be really frank, and Senator Scoy knows how I feel. I'm fine with eliminating Green Acres. I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole rest of the legislature's not. Mm-hmm. And and when we tried to actually read the Office of the Legislative Auditor study and make changes because a lot of things weren't working, you know, we all know what happened. All the people who were asleep while the workers were working, you know, mm-hmm. all, of course, declared that we were all working in the dead of night, even though all these things were introduced and had hearings. And, again, the people who didn't want to work hard didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then they criticized all the hard workers and found out, you know, they lost some things they wanted. And I think the saddest story of the whole Green Acres fight is the fact that 95% of it, in my mind, was never true. The assertions about what the legislature did were wrong. And unfortunately, it's like someone said to me, someday they're going to write, you know, a PhD on spin and misinformation. And there was sort of this whole thing happened where folks were out, you know, all over the state kind of creating this, you know, firestorm without ever reading anything. And so instead, you know, we had literally people up in arms in the House and I think much more than the Senate. And we just, every day, it was sort of another misinformation campaign. And it's just, you know, you just beat down into submission, and it was addressed in a conference committee report. So now,
well, Madam Chair,
a change just gets, I'll just be honest, it's a political problem in a huge way. And I just want to put it there. And I think I'm with Senator Scoy and with you. I'm just saying it's the House has got a really rough road to hoe to reopen this thing. Senator Dibble.
Well, Madam Chair, two things. One is, as we were speaking earlier about the OPEB bonds, it's law.
Right.
You know,
right.
Not working. We know that this is going to screw up the things that we're trying to remedy. We know that. I mean, it just on its face and in terms of process, this is something that came in a package of amendments that was part of a deal, not at all vetted, you know, and everyone sitting in the room who we didn't really hear from as that thing got offered and voted on was saying, we don't think this quite makes sense. Since there's been an opportunity for some reflection and really thinking about it, this really screws it. Frankly, it unwinds all of the hard work that you know, we tried to come to deal with those portions that aren't being used for agricultural purposes. We're trying to figure out how to, you know, so people aren't cutting down their trees and you know, tilling up their land up to the edge of the water. You know, it just completely reopens that whole, you know, what trees are they going to cut down? What land are they going to put back so they get to the 50%? Or who's going to pick that portion that's above the amount that we pull in agricultural? You know, it's just, you know, it's, you know, it's one of those things. We can anticipate the headaches right now and come back next
year. I agree. And we can't win. I'll just tell you, just this conversation, just between a few of us here for a few minutes, we'll have the misinformation campaign has begun right now. The emails are going out that the tax conference committee is repealing Green Acres right now. Can't you just hear it? That's what's come of this process.
I have a different person. I think.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying, isn't that sad?
I think there may be one or two people in the legislature who may own this, but I think people out who are trying to figure out Green Acres for their own land, you know, would not be perceiving this that way. I think they think this is a goof up because we fixed a bunch of those problems.
Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, let me just kind of clarify what's going on with this provision. This is not a Green Acres provision. Because those people are all taken care of by the four-year grandfather. Green Acres is not addressed. This is a rural preserve. It was a new program. It was brought in at the last minute in the conference committee, and it was controversial on the Senate side. But having said that, the problem with it is we are going to have people signing up this summer for this rural preserve program, and it is extremely unclear as to how this provision is going to be implemented because there's no direction on which acres go into which parcel. If you have a 100 acres, some of which is highly valuable and some of which isn't, and part of it's going to go into rural preserve, is it the high-value acres or the low-value acres? We have given no direction. Nobody knows what's going to happen. And potentially, remember, there were a whole number of counties that didn't implement Green Acres, and now they're going to be implementing this. And how are they going to do it? So we're not going to resolve this today. I would suggest we move on. Hopefully I've clarified for all the emailers out there that this is not a Green Acres issue, and we can move on today. But I think on Monday we should talk about this.
Rep. Marquardt?
I've got nothing to add.
No. Did everyone just get a headache? The whole room.
Madam Chair?
Madam Chair, I think Monday I'd probably want to hear from the department if they could be prepared. I just want to make sure the department and the assessors can administer what we've passed. And if they haven't, well, then I think we need to give them maybe a little additional direction somehow in law so that it works. Because I'd rather spend a little bit of time in the next few days on this than have happened exactly what you've indicated with the rumor mill and all of us be dealing with it again next year. So I think Sarah Scoy's right. Let's try and make sure we have this right and that it works. From an administrative standpoint, it works for the department and the assessors. So I guess on Monday I'd like to just make sure what we did is, you know, works out on the land.
Oh, cross-compliance. Okay, so let's hold on that. But the cross-compliance part, or we're going to get that done?
We're going to work on that, too.
Okay, so that part I think it should be doable no matter what happens. Okay, so what else were we waiting on here? Representative Loeffler?
Redrafted maintenance of effort language.
Oh, the study. Good.
Of discussions going on in the back room crowd here.
Perfect.
The administration and others. And I'm just going to be walking through it as I review it at the same time, but see on lines 1.7 through 1.9, it lists the county associations. There was a question about who the county representatives, and says that there will also be representatives from organizations that represent people who receive these services. Provides Senator Dibble's suggestion that it also be the report also goes to the ranking minority members. And thank you. And it also provides Senator Mao's suggestion that the report be made electronically with paper copies available upon request. That's apparent in a Senate tradition that I think is a good environmental move. And the due date has been extended to February 1st, 2009, gives them a few more months to work on it. There was some discussion that they'd like to have a whole other year, but I think we need to tee this up before the next biennial budget so that it sort of guides the development. It should be 2010. On line 1.16, we cannot do retroactive, even though I've seen that happen in some places. Connected with Human Services. And so with that, Madam Chair, I would move the APDTLA-4 amendment with the correction on line 1.16 of 2010 instead of 2009.
Okay, so we have the Loeffler motion. I want to let Commissioner Innes respond to it and take a look. Senator Bach, what do you think?
Well, Madam Chair, does this work? I understand Senator Bergman thinks this is okay. She would like us to consider substituting this for the two-year moratorium we put in place.
So that in 2 years everyone can start sending property taxes through the roof again?
Or maybe do it this year.
Well, next year.
Oh, right away. Let's hurry.
Just want to be clear. I believe Senator Bergman, I think the message we got is she thinks this is an okay thing to do, but she would like us to revisit the two-year moratorium that we put in place, but not as a part of this motion, Madam Chair.
Okay. Commissioner?
Could you get us?
Madam Chair, I've talked to the representatives from the Department of Health and Human Services, Commissioner Wilkins specifically. I think the two things I'd like to flag, they say this is a very ambitious timeline. Even the change, pushing it back to February of 2010 is ambitious. Considering the scope of this, is a fairly ambitious undertaking. The other issue they wanted to flag for you, if it is going to be this ambitious a timeline, that there probably be some fiscal costs associated with this that the department would have to either absorb or hopefully get some sort of appropriation, because it is a pretty ambitious undertaking on their part. And there's somebody from the department here that could probably speak more informatively about that than myself.
Representative Loeffler?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This does not say that you have to have every little last piece of detail done. You just have to have the design of the system. And I think that
if they can have that by February, then there's a chance for legislative review before they actually work down to the detailed nitty-gritty level. So I think this actually can work, and it does actually identify that it's to establish a system and report back. But if we need to clarify that, we can. But I think that that way we'll have a check-in point next February before the further work gets done.
Senator Bach.
I'm fine, Madam Chair.
Senator Sklai.
Is that clear, Commissioner?
Madam Chair, that's clear. may not be ideal from the perspective of the Department of Health and Human Services, but understood.
I think we don't want to lose another legislative session.
Understood, Madam Chair.
It's already frustrating that this one's gone by the wayside. Senator Rust.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It seems to me that, however, if you're going to do this, you know, in the Senate, we have guidelines for setting up groups like this, and I don't see any language that says when these appointments of these county representatives need to be made. And it seems like to me you'd want that, you know, those representatives have to be on board by a certain date so that there's a way of beginning this group. Also, I would suggest that we don't usually use the word subject areas. We say policy with jurisdiction over policy areas of property taxes. And maybe it can just spring into being on its own, but generally we found that when you are specific with regard to the requirements, that groups that are being formed are have far better guidelines of how they're to be structured and what the process is. And I don't think the House usually does that kind of thing, but I would suggest that it would make it easier for the group to have that kind of instruction.
Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Rest, I wouldn't mind, or Senator Rest, I don't have any problem putting in a start date. We do tend to, in the House, just say, you know, get it done by this time, and the people are involved. This is not, I don't see this as an ongoing forever commission and task force. It's in consultation with them. It's not a formal advisory group. There is, under consideration in the Health and Human Services Committee, a formal steering group that could potentially do this, but they're not done using that, so we can't make the reference to that, but it would have similar membership, and that has much more structure.
Madam Chair and Representative Loeffler, however, it doesn't say that the group ends, and so as far as it goes, it doesn't end. And of course, you and I remember the months and months of agonizing over what kinds of authority the Sesquicentennial Commission had, because our enabling legislation was so vague. And we've become very much sticklers on that in the Senate.
Madam Chair.
And there's no harm in being specific, Representative Loeffler.
I agree there's no harm in being specific. I'll be glad to work with you on that. I think if we can adopt sort of the concept now and then we can come back with some refinements, we'll be glad to
that
work
would be
that
okay.
out.
On Monday if there's more. Okay.
And all you need to do is look at the guidelines. They're all right there.
Thank you, Senator Rest. Appreciate that thoroughness.
I think the Senator Rest point on line 1.15, I think changing subject to policy is probably more consistent with what we've word usage is probably better.
Did you want to incorporate
Madam Chair,
that?
I would incorporate that change on line 1.15.
Discussion. To the Loeffler motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Motion carries. Representative Marquardt.
If you would all go to page 81 of the side-by-side, there are two special levy items that the Department of Revenue is fine with, but we'll make sure. One is on page 81. Article 13, Section 6, I will move that section, which would allow local governments to recertify their levy by January 15th of a year in which there's been a governor's unallotment. And then the second bullet of Section 7, Part 2, where it would allow a special levy for reductions in market value homestead credit. Right now it's allowed for local government aid, The first, it, so it would just be the second part where it says reduction in market value credit, and commissioners, both those okay?
Madam Chair, Representative Mark Court, please. Yes, I want to make explicit what our intent is. I think Ms. Dalton has drafted it consistent with the intent as we understand it, but I call it the market value credit parity amendment.
Yeah.
So market value credit will get the same treatment as LJ and CPA have under current law as far as levy back under the levy limits.
And I would ask that my motion coincide with what the commissioner just said.
Thank you, Representative.
Okay. Does everybody understand this
and
one?
Do you have the language? I guess so. Well, I will move House File 2323 A71 amendment.
Thank you. How do they do that, by the way? The language appears. Everyone have the actual language now?
Okay. Okay, it's that language and Article 6 with the January. So it's what I just passed out with Article 6 on the January 15th.
Section 6.
House.
Does everyone understand the Marquardt?
Section 6, right?
Pardon?
You just said Article 6. You
Article
section
13,
six.
Section 6.
Section 6.
Okay. And then in addition to the amendment I just read.
Okay. Everyone understand that? Discussion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. Motion carries. Senator Bach.
Madam Chair, can I do one thing for Senator Vickerman? Really easy.
Is it a nice thing?
It's really easy.
If give him one of these chocolates, that'd be easier.
It's really easy, and it's kind of, and it's kind of for Ms. Zoff. Because we had her and I had a discussion. Ms. Zoff and I had a discussion about it seemed like we were going to have a tax bill that didn't have
aggregate.
That didn't have anything related to aggregate.
Oh, no, we don't.
And we certainly wouldn't want to have a tax bill without an aggregate provision. So here is what Senator Vickerman asked me for yesterday. So he has a county down in the corner of the state. I think it's Rock County.
Is that a pun?
Rock County. And last year we raised the aggregate tax. I think we about doubled it last year. And they just would like to be able to stay at the old rate. It's it's a permissive tax that they can enact or not enact, but we don't give them any flexibility over it. We just tell them they have to impose it at a certain rate.
I don't know. I'm just listening.
This just says they can. I believe it says they can stay at last year's at the old rate rather than impose the new rate. Their neighboring counties don't impose it, and it's not imposed in Iowa. And this is creating a bit of a problem for them, I understand. They still would like to have the aggregate tax, but the new higher rate apparently is a problem for the county. So Senator Vickerman asked me if we'd consider this.
Senator Bach, this is what we're trying to find out right now. Representative Leader had a concern about aggregate and what it ends up costing for roads.
We're now
trying to figure out if this is the provision that he told me to beware of. Well, there was one that was coming from the Senate.
No, Madam Chair, this actually lowers the aggregate tax. It wouldn't. It would lower it. So
well, then they would get less money then, as a result of the tax.
They would get less.
This is the problem.
They would get less money, but I think Representative Leader's problem is if you raise the aggregate tax, it raises the overall cost of road construction because you add additional tax to the cost of the road project.
Okay, can we wait till Monday? Here's the problem. I think you're right. I think I just want to check with Representative Leader because we know these prices add up to a lot, and just like the gas tax receipts coming in less, there's less stuff. You get less aggregate tax receipts. You get less. I think it's the Magnus bill in the House. I'm not sure who the Senate author was that he really opposed. So I'm not sure if this is the same thing, but I still, either way, would just like to talk to him. So it sounds like this might be not quite as severe as the other item I talked to him. I do want to run it past.
I would be surprised, Madam Chair, if there's a problem with this, but
okay.
We can wait till Monday.
So can we just hold on that? Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have to leave for
Goodbye.
Personal matter. But, as you're running through your list, I just wanted to highlight, Senator Moi and I and Senator Bach, have some TIF ideas. We've talked about them, had a little bit of a hearing. We'd like to get back to those.
This is
transit improvement area, central corridor.
This isn't the Metzen bill.
No.
No, okay. Because no. we're not going to have a lot of time for that this year.
No,
there's some real big TIF provisions
not
there.
Yet.
No, we heard that bill too, and we killed it good. So, Senator Dibble.
Did you move it even?
So I just wanted to highlight my continuing interest in pursuing those ideas.
Okay, thank you.
Right.
We know you have to go. And on that note, I think we are going to adjourn, Mr. Chair.
Madam Chair, if I could say, I brought the Senator Vickerman provision here today because I think if and maybe we could circle back with our members, if members have signed us some personal things they'd like to have incorporated here.
If they're good policy.
If there's something we can all agree to, I think we ought to try to get them out of here.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know how this final week of negotiations is going to go with the governor, and I'm not sure there'll be another opportunity to get kind of some members' stuff done. For instance, Senator Vickerman's thing for Rock County that he wants to get, whether we do it or not. But I do think the train is leaving the station for members' local provisions here. And, you know, there may be another opportunity in the event we can get another tax bill negotiated with the governor, but there also may not be. So just want to be clear. So if we talk to our colleagues over the weekend and Monday morning, if we can do some, there's some additional things that we've overlooked that we think make good sense. I believe we should try to get them done Monday, or it will be too late.
Okay, so anything else? Senator Scott?
Madam Chair, if we're putting issues on the table, and I'm not expecting any discussion, but I do have an issue that I'm going to bring up on Monday, and maybe I could just hand this out so you'd be aware of it. I don't want anybody to be surprised.
You know, so good to see this. Senator Sklar, I think you also, I want to encourage you to look at the county option sales provision once again and think anew about it, because a lot of the stuff could get addressed.
Well,
Representative Markworth's provisions.
Well, Madam Chair, this actually is beyond the county. This is if you remember, we dealt with this last year for the county. The federal government has passed a law that will allow Native American tribes to access these out-of-home placement dollars directly from the federal government, as opposed to going through the county and including county dollars into the cost. And so what we have is an application into the federal government for these for access to those federal dollars, which is very good for the local property taxpayer. There is going to be an issue of transition costs, and that's why I'm bringing this forward.
Okay, right. We will think about that.
And Madam Chair, I think I briefly mentioned to you, we have a couple dollars on the bottom line here as kind of some things moved around, and I am going to have a discussion with the commissioner later about seeing if in this bill we can address the issue of some of the school districts that have really a lot of seasonal rec capacity. If we can spend a couple dollars on trying to make it a little easier for them to pass voter-approved referendums. So just wanted to make you aware that I've been working with Mr. Ouellette and with Senate Council to see if we can do something. And if we could get it incorporated into this bill, I think it could probably be helpful. And if we can't, it'll be a discussion we have to have later in the session.
So does anyone have anything else?
I have one thing.
Yes.
Who was responsible for bringing Representative Lincheski's birthday cake today? Anybody?
Going home to
the
have
lobbying
that.
Community missed the boat here if nobody brought a cake.
But Mr. Chair,
how
Mr.
Many
Chair,
cakes
can
do
we?
Think we'll have on Monday.
Will we have belated cakes?
Can we at least
may
sing?
Cake all next week, Madam Chair.
I'm a bad singer, but can we at least sing?
Oh, no.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. That's really kind. I don't know what to say. Okay. So.
I hope we were on television, Madam Chair.
I am not. Thank you, everybody. Have a great rest of the weekend and a great Mother's Day. We are adjourned. Thank you.
We have a lot of stuff.
Yes, that's. Well, and you know what?